Riders, Rangers, and Rebels. Chagrin Shinobi is a legendary underground toy reviewer. Dawson Rider is Awesome Rider. And Jedimon is Jedimon.
Hello, welcome to Riders, Rangers, and Rebels episode 48.
Bamboozled again!
Fucking bamboozled.
Then again, when are we not bamboozled?
We hurt ourselves in our confusion.
Someone said, I just fucking Magi Rangers, and then we just lost it.
We just left.
Just burp, lost interest, and walked
burp,
away.
Lost interest, walked away, cried.
Masturbated in a corner.
So, I'll mention it in my one-ups. I don't even want to continue with this.
Just about getting bamboozled?
Just like sniffed.
About getting trolled and then bamboozled? Yeah.
Yeah, first time I got trolled and I got bamboozled. I had a very hate relationship with
A Miami.
Amy, sure. Amy, spelled A-M-Y-A-M-Y. It's Brian's secret love. He's been.
I think it froze.
What, Lego what? Star Wars or Ami Ami?
Lego Star Wars?
Good.
It has a track record of freezing even though it never froze on me.
This is the second time freezing when you play it for too long and obnoxiously blast the music in your friend's ears.
Yeah. You know what? First of all, I don't have friends. I don't have friends. Thank you. Oh,
he's coming! He's coming!
I was about to start doing that.
Alright, so let's just move on to the fucking one-ups.
Well, someone's ready.
You better write that as the title.
Okay,
please.
I am
one-ups.
Fucking one-ups, okay. Okay, so here's what happened. Sunday night, I have my alarm for Ami Ami set at 5:15. Well, now I have it set for 5, but we'll get into that later. I had it set for 5:15 because they had a pretty decent track record of updating about 5:15, 5:20, like the past like week and a half or so. And so I was like, I got all set. I'm like, I won't be defeated ever.
I'll be defeated.
Watashi no tanda.
And so, like, I was sleeping, and then my alarm goes off. I'm like, because I fell asleep, so I'm like half dead. And I look at Ami Ami or Arizona Iced Tea on my phone.
Yes.
It refreshes.
Considering it's too late now, you said it 6 times. Whatever.
I'm bad at this. And so, like, all of a sudden, Metal Set 4, the Meta Gaburiu, the
Triceracandroid.
Triceracandroid and the two. The first
Vinyl
two Greed. Rider Here. Rider Here. No, fuck.
Rider Greed Heroes.
Greed series thingy, whatever.
Yuva and Kazali.
Yeah.
Greed Villains. Calzone.
There. I start flipping. I'm like, fuck! And I click and it's like temporarily sold out. I'm like, damn it! Or.
I said sold out.
Yeah, it was sold out. I'm like, damn it, I missed it. Why did I sleep? And then it dawned on me that the 5 o'clock update would have made them available, and then the update the following day would have made them sold out, not immediately sold out right when they sold out, because that's not how they work. And so then I calmed down and was like, damn it, they trolled me. They fucking trolled me. And so I tweeted that in rage, and then I went back to bed. Actually, I think I bought Rio a Figma Strike, and then I went to bed. I just buy things for people when I'm bored with their account.
So that's where that bill came from.
That's why Dawson owes $2,000
to Triforia Condom Company. That's what happened.
So then yesterday night,
yesterday.
Oh my god, I don't even want to talk about this, but I'm going to, because it's a good story. Premature jumping. I was just kind of minding my own business. I'm like, oh, I'm tired, I'll go lay down. And like, I couldn't sleep, I was just laying there. I'm like, well, I'll just wait for the update. And so I made the mistake of laying there, and about 4:50 I passed out. And my alarm goes off at 5:15, and I check it, and everything's listed as now on sale. I'm like, damn it, I like threw my phone. I don't know what happened. I flipped my laptop open. It was like, bam, on. I'm like, thank you for working properly for once in your life. I load up the 3 pages. I start with the Metagory, I add to cart, I flip the joystick, I add to cart, and then I go and I start checking out, and the Metagory is gone. Like, it vanished as I was checking out, so I'm like, god damn it. So then I checked the medals were gone, I'm like, god damn it, more! So, I ended the night with a Triceracandroid.
Or technically four Triceracandroids.
Yeah, because I had to buy one for everyone and their mom. And so, like, I was not really mad that I missed it so much. I'm mad that I missed it on the circumstances that presented itself. Like, I was literally laying there for so long, I pass out 10 minutes before the update. 10 fucking minutes. And then they, of course, updated at 5 o'clock instead of around 5:15, 5:20. So my alarm was 15 minutes too late for the update.
I don't know what their problem is.
So it was just kind of an all-around fail night. And then I was just, like, so angry with everything that I couldn't go to sleep. So I, like, didn't fall asleep at, like, 7 o'clock in the morning. I had to be up at 9. I got, like, 2 hours of sleep last night. I'm so pissed. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, very angsty.
On the plus side, I got D'Arts, Omnimon from Mandrake on Saturday, and if you haven't bought him yet, do so the minute you can.
I'm trying, okay?
No, you're trying. You're at least trying. That's good enough. Because he is literally, like, really, really awesome, and it makes me all excited for D'Arts again.
Can we get Shoutmon Cross 3 and an exclusive Cross 4? Forever Pikmons. Team Cross Heart for life.
Forever Pikmons!
Fuck yes.
So, honestly, that's really about it. I mean, I've just been really, really
busy. No, you have to tell us your Rider Proxy story.
Okay, oh god. Okay,
everyone needs to know about this.
Another thing to make me pissed off about yesterday.
Yes,
so I'd sent Proxy a Facebook message that was like, can you give me the totals for Cyclone Axel Extreme and Rising Titan Kuga? I'd like to ship them out. So she sends me a message back saying, sorry, I forgot to tell you that I forgot to get the order in, like, before they closed. So, that's a beautiful...
Lol on you.
Sorry.
So, basically, I spent all this time not having either of those two figures and not knowing it.
When he could have just gone to Oki and been
so
like,
so those
hey,
were actually not legitimate deluxe letters you have on the cool guy list. They were lies the whole time.
They were lies, but now they're legit.
We're going to bring you up on charges.
And not only that, it turned out Shuki did not, in fact, own all figure arts because they weren't actually letters.
Do I own them now?
This is all a lie.
And so, like, everything I believe, like, has been the second I read that, I was like, okay, I'll just get them from Andrake. And so she sent me the deposits back. I'm like, yay, money. That instantly vanished. So, that was about 4:20 or so when that happened. And so, while I was laying there, I was thinking, okay, I'll just go check out Mandrake. And so I checked Mandrake on my phone because I was too lazy to roll around.
Oh, God.
And so, like, I did that, and I seen that the Nakano store had a Rising Titan Kuga and a really cheap Cyclone Axel Extreme, so... I was like, yay, I'll just do this. And so I was like, I'll just order them in the morning. Well, first I was like, okay, I'll pop up on my laptop and order them. I was like, no, I'll do them in the morning. If I would have did it right there, my computer would have been on and ready when AmiAmi updated. But that's a completely different story, and I'm just still pissed at myself for that. So, last night was just a complete mess. Between falling asleep at the worst time and then not ordering that and then missing this and then being rageful and not sleeping and getting 2 hours of sleep and then...
You just lied there mad, rolling around, making angry grunting noises.
That's kind of what I did. Like, well, I mean, I'll talk later in the podcast. Like, there are certain things going on in my head that...
Oh, God. That's for the after show.
Not that.
Oh. I don't even know what to say anymore. I'll just go.
Anyway, that's about it for me. I ordered some more Transformers.
Oh, did you? That's good for you. No one cares.
Go fucking things anywhere.
I know. We can't find anything anywhere anymore. No one stocks anything ever.
I have to order everything from Hasbro Toy Shop because I can't find them anywhere. But yeah, I've just been recording and playing games. And
they appreciate your business.
The moral of the story is Rider Proxy is stupid. So don't use her. Just saying.
Like, it's kind of sad because, like, she's so nice, but She, like, this is the third pre-order I had that she didn't get to actually order, and that's just kind of, like, not good business.
Well, that's, like, the third thing she messed up with you. She messed up something with me. She messed up, like, two things with Spider-Vic. She, like, he's like, oh, do this stuff for auctions, and then all of a sudden she, like, passed out and, like, oh, I missed the auctions because I'm stupid.
She had drunk instead, Pat King.
Yep. She's secretly Pat King's mistress all along. Oh, we're coming up with fake stories. I don't even know.
Even married?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
He was married to Pat Queen, and the mistress stole her. She was just like, maybe if I get her, I can be the king. I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Anyway, enough rambles from me, but go ahead.
Go, Dushim.
There literally hasn't been anything. Like, I haven't gotten any boxes.
Oh my god, this guy on Tosh is so creepy looking.
Is the Selena Gomez guy again?
No.
Well, who is it? No. Who is it?
This dude's using a toilet brush as a back scratcher. Oh. And he's got his hairs all wild out, and he's got missing some teeth, and he's got no shirt on. Oh god. That was
so clearly
creepy.
That's what's been up with me, is the creepy guy on Tosh.
Sorry.
I can't think of anything that's been up since the last podcast. Like, I haven't gotten any packages. I played a few levels of the Clone Wars, but nowhere near, like, the craziness that these two have been playing it. And I haven't been blasting lasers in anyone's ears.
I haven't gotten anyone pregnant. I didn't either, as far as I know.
Haven't had anyone try to pass me off. No, I had a joke about passing off babies, and then it died because I messed up. One time I told Angelica to go away. But that's
Really?
I don't think I've ever said that before, ever.
No.
Nope. So that's really it.
First time you said that, ever.
The only thing I bought was this, like, Ben 10, like, ship thing that comes with the Gwen figure, because it's, like, the only Gwen figure ever. And I want another review. So that's it. So let's let Kevin carry on for 15 minutes.
All right, so some of you may have noticed I wasn't here last week.
You weren't here?
You want to explain yourself?
I was sleeping. I got depressed.
He was going...
and I was asleep.
Got depressed because he fell into her vagenda again.
Her vagenda?
Yes.
I don't know what that means, but...
sexual
words. It's her vagina agenda.
Basically, the gist of the story is, if you all saw my last vlog, yeah, pretend it never happened. Because after a week, she panicked and ran away again.
It's depressing when you say it like that.
That's basically what happened. She panicked, freaked out, didn't know what the hell was going on. She's all like, it feels different than before and it's not the same. We talked about that. It's not supposed to be the same. It's been 8 months. And, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And then she started having crazy symptoms, and we don't know what's wrong with her.
Is she still symptomy?
I don't know. She hadn't spoken to me.
Oh, yeah. You told her, like, go fuck off or something again.
She might have a black baby. We don't know.
We don't know what's happening. And it wouldn't be black. If she is, it might be mine, I'm assuming. I don't know what's happening.
A Mexican baby named Enrique.
Possible. That's possible. We don't know at this point. It's still up for debate.
Short story is, Kevin went to your daddy.
Not really, I don't think. I don't think that's happening.
Not really, I don't think.
It'd be hilarious. Well, it might be a fake one, because you'd be like, oh, this totally promises your baby. When was it conceived? 3 months ago? Alright, I believe you.
I'm not that stupid.
Just a joke.
Not that stupid. Well.
But...
ow, fuck.
In any case, what have I purchased lately? Just that Triceracandroid, I think. I don't think I've purchased anything else. Because no one's letting us.
Basically.
But I did get my Gotta Carry Bot and Shinken Gold in the mail today, as well as my capsule set. What are we on, 4?
Yes.
Whatever set that was I just bought, it came in the mail finally. So I'm still waiting for Terra Candroid and Candy set 3. But, so there's that. I've put up a couple more reviews. You people may have noticed. I have more I have to record still. I'm still, like, Uber behind, I know. Oh well, deal with it. I have pre-ordered the Tajadol effect parts and been in contact with the Okies. Still waiting for a total, though, so that I can pay him and get my stuff.
He talks to me.
He talks to you because you're the Shukun Shinobi bitch and what? And I got the chick at my work to watch Chuck. So, and it only took seriously this much convincing. Hey, you should watch Chuck. Okay. I don't know what Dawson's problem is with, you know, Kit Taylor over there, but I don't know.
This is the part where I say shut up.
Yeah, you say shut up because you have no defense for your terrible hoe behavior.
Shut up.
But, I'm trying to think. I've been playing Lego Star Wars. I've beaten the game. I have one mini kit left to get and two characters to buy. And then I own everything ever because I am the awesomenesses. And I think that's actually it. I'm not doing anything else except trying not to slit my own throat. So
sounds terrific.
It used to be terrific when I was loved.
No one cares. Yeah.
That's the problem. No one cares anymore.
No one cared in the first place.
Probably, but it was at least nice when they pretended to care.
Fair enough. Hey, so on to the news. Yeah.
Ranger Cross.
So
Marvelous Crosser 4B.
Oh god, now I just picture Marvelous like a centaur body.
Oh god. That's what's gonna happen when Wolzard comes on the show. He's gonna get a Cross 4B. It's gonna be up.
Okay, so this is a completely new Sentai game for the Nintendo Wii. That's all that's announced for currently. I don't know. I kind of hope it gets ported to either the DS or the PSP so I can play it. Because my Wii is not modified. It is legit straight out of the womb Wii.
Deluxe.
It's deluxe?
Sure, it's legit. So after the success of Climax Heroes to Tokusatsu fans, it's now Super Sentai Team's turn to collide in the upcoming Nintendo Wii game from Namco Bandai. Game will be called Super Sentai Battle Ranger Cross. 4B5 Guardian.
Venus.
Naito. This game bring heroes from Tenso Sentai Ghost Sager, Go Onger, Shinkenger, and the series that started the franchise, Go Ranger.
Yay.
I was revealed on this week's issue of Famitsu, and according to online reports, it's Dynasty Warriors-like, so basically you pick a ranger, and then you just kind of button mash until all of the little foot soldier guys
are dead. Oh, it's dead. Basically. Go, ha, 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 ha. And then for a change, ha, and then they're dead.
And of course, Gokaiger will be in the game as well, because they're the main characters. Sure, the game looks promising, but with only 5 Sentai teams gathered for the Ranger Cross, it doesn't seem like they're going to add more teams. Players first fight the villains on foot, and if you've already beaten it, you must fight his giant form with your team's mecha, which is really cool. The game can be played by 1 or 2 players on a Musou Dynasty Warriors. Like gameplay, the game is the newest Sentai game after 9 years. Last one was a Hurricaneer game of some sort on some platform. I have no idea.
That's my favorite
to come
game.
In these coming weeks.
Ew. You
said come like twice.
Come, come, come.
Oh god. Yes, yes, yes.
So, I'll just start by saying that, like, it's about time Sentai gets a good game.
Yeah.
I'm really glad.
Or a game.
Not, oh, yeah, game, period. I'm glad it's not a Daiso port, just because the Gombrai game wasn't really that good.
Yeah. You just got it for the car that went sad face.
Basically, like, I mean, I had fun with it. It just got very repetitive. Climax Heroes was a lot more fun. But I mean, I probably won't be able to get to play it, so I mean, I can't be too excited. But Like a Ranger game with a Dynasty Warriors gameplay just seems really, really fun to me.
Yeah, that would be awesome to play. It's like too bad we're never going to get to play it.
I know.
It's like, well, that'd be awesome if we could play it. Thanks, Japan.
God. Like, the only thing I kind of hope would happen is if maybe they, like, took out, like, the Go Ranger and, how are you going to have a mecha battle with Go Ranger?
I don't know. They're playing, maybe?
Maybe. Like, take out Go Ranger, Go Sager, and Go Kaiser, and then put in, like, MMPR and...
Samurai, and that's it.
Well, Shinkenger's in there already.
I know, like, it was already there, and then... So...
Replace Go Ranger with MMPR, and then replace Go Sager and Go Kaiser with, like,
Well, we can't do anything... Well, we can't do that. That's not canon.
Oh, yeah, that's true. This game wouldn't pass because Zatcher wouldn't let it.
All the good seasons aren't canon anymore.
They have to take out RPM and replace it with Wild Force or something. I don't know. But anyway,
that's only half canon.
Like, I kind of hope they take... Kind of like the Dragon Knight game took... I think Climax Heroes Double for the Wii and changed it up to be Dragon Knight. Like, I really hope Bandai Namco kind of takes this, reskins it, and retools it for Samurai and makes a game out of it. That'd be nice.
With people... The voice actors are probably better actors than the actual ones. Just a funny thought. I think Johnny Young Bosch should just voice all five of the Samurai Rangers.
Probably.
That'd be pretty epic.
I think so.
But yeah, it definitely looks cool.
It froze again!
Who cares?! I wish the Wii's were region free.
Region.
I wish it wasn't from Norwegia. Lol. That's not even a country. Norwegia.
Norwegia.
Norwegian. What is Norway? There we go. I don't know.
No you.
I took it too far. No you. No we. No you.
I don't know.
Anyway. Well, I was thinking what they could do, because if they do like to do Climax Heroes, they'll just keep making one every year. They could just wait till they make a better version. Bring it over.
An evil version, just a shoe for the other foot.
Anyway, so bring it over like in a couple of years and maybe change things around. What would be nice is if they actually set up the Wii. Because I remember a while back they were saying they were trying to fix the Wii and set it up to where you could like have downloadable content. Then you could just have where you can just buy teams.
That'd be fun.
Like, oh look, you can buy Hurricangers and you can buy Aberrangers and you can buy whomever, and you can, and then they can set a price based on how many is in the team. Like Sun Vulcan wouldn't cost as much because it's only three people.
And Ghost Rangers wouldn't cost anything because no one likes them.
Well, they're already in the game, stupid.
I know, but next games, you never know.
And you know, or like the like six people teams could cost a little bit more than the five people teams since it's an extra person or whatever, and that'd be neat. I mean, they've already like let you download song packs for Guitar Hero, so
yeah,
it can't be too much of a stretch to do something like that for this kind of thing. And it'd be a great way to make money, especially if Saban wanted to do it. And
although it just seems unlikely right now, considering the Wii has like the worst track record in downloadable content, because like just Guitar Hero, and then they're like, "Oh, we have plans. We promise.
We have plans. We're just not going to act on them." That's the problem.
Games with downloadable content.
Not important ones.
How does one define?
Oh, here we go. Let's not get philosophical now.
Just saying.
But yeah, that was kind of my thing. Is that would just be neat, like to start out with the five teams and then just kind of expand it that way.
I think they could probably make more money by just making a new game every year. They're like, oh, well, you have to buy this new game. It doesn't matter anyway. We can't play it. Let's laugh at the Japanese people when they buy more games. We get to laugh at their expense because we don't get to play it.
Yeah. But I don't know. It seems interesting.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to see footage and stuff, of course.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I want to see, like, screens and footage and how this actually works as opposed to just the on-paper version, but... No, I touched myself.
The on-paper version.
Not like on paper. Evil paper, but just the opposite. I don't know.
Okay, shut up, you. That's enough out of you.
That's enough of your nonsense.
Nonsense. That word is ruined too.
Devo. So, moving along.
Yep.
Okay. So next, it's time for the old rumors. We do the German dancers. We got the old rumors.
Yes. Oh god, there's like weird sexual breath after it.
We do the German dance. First up, we got the info on the Poototeras. Yes. We have this epic picture of the Poototeras. Like, I am Epic Bonnie.
Epic Yay. Bonnie. You know how badass you have to be to smoke a cigar with damn mittens on?
I know, right? So after the release of the recent issues of several popular magazines, such as Uchusen and Hyper Happy. Wait, no.
Hyper Happy?
Hyper Happy.
Hyper Happy?
Shut up!
That's the sequel to Hop. Hyper Happy. Just saying.
More confirmed infos had surfaced in zones and nets. Aside from that, we also had fan reported rumors about the dinosaur lead, the summer movie, and more! First up, start with more information on the Poototerra combos. The official romanized spelling for the combo was in articles in the Hyper Hobby magazine's May issue, written as Poototerra combo. Poototerra. So I personally would stick with Poototerra. Well, you're stupid. For future posts related to it, is the O's purple combo when utilizing the three dinosaur core medals. The Tsura Akira and the Tirano core medals. As we all know, the dinosaur core medals come from a dinosaur greed named Giru. Which, the spelling is G-I-R-U. So it's not like Gills from the Kamen Rider Agitos. It's over to the lake to come out with a spike on his heel and kill someone.
He's going to ride his bike out in the ocean. Like, I don't think we have confirmation that it's G-I-R-U yet.
That's what this is according to here. Gideon.
That's what it says here. This is from the Gideons. He knows what he's talking about. He posts the news like 6 weeks late. So it's like the other O's combo. Each core medal has a unique ability to O's. The Terra medal arms him with the Terra head. It lets him fly.
Hey, it lets him fly.
He like flies with his little head. It's all heavy. He can't. Oh god, that sounded nasty. He can't lift up his weight.
Arms him with Psy-Killer arms. He gets two wide stingers, which is muscle on the shoulder. To extend to any length while attacking the targets. Tirano metal arms him with Tirano legs, which can form a tail to deliver a powerful attack on his enemy. He's got a tail! Oz can also utilize the legs turn nail to deliver powerful kick attacks. Unlike the other combos, Poototerra causes his armor to be white and cannot mix and match with the other core metals. Only the Poototerras! Then we have the picture of all the combos doing some badass attackings at the same times.
Is Poototerra trapped in quicksand? That's what it looks like. It's like, help, everybody. Help. Like, hello.
It says, like, so we all know, the existence of the dinosaur Gleed is very mysterious. The only info we know is he's Gil, and the rest of the Gleeds seem to know about him. Zol did not appear physically. His debut was in the Kamen Rider Oz and Double. So stay still. Movie War Core. In some movie, he created two Terra Yummies, with one of them having the desire to collect the past memories of the Kamen Riders, and the other having the desire to dance gracefully. That's just gay.
I feel like those are opposing ideas.
So the name Gil itself was derived from the word Uragil, which means to betray. So his physical appearance is not unveiled yet. He was voiced by Kenji Hamada, who was previously voiced by
Kenji Hamada.
The engine gun pods of the Gwangers. While the character was referred to as Gil in the movie, he was credited solely as Dinosaur Greed in the credits. Now for rumors! Says Kazali is the one who gave Eiji the dinosaur medals. His objective is to let Oz and Bas destroy themselves. Kazali believes he betrayed Maki and worked with Gil, but he's used by Gil and in the end all his cause is taken by the Gil. Oh, damn. Gil starts to hunt down the Yuvas and wants to revive Gamel and Mazul. probably
slowly turning
more,
into a creepy Russian landlord. I don't know what's happening.
Dante gets a fatal disease. His desire is world
no!
peace. He wants to build the school in the places where the poor people live. Boss gets its true power
he
after
Dante
dies.
He wants to be
died.
Oprah.
Oh, God. I'd watch that instead of that new, like, whatever network she has. I call it the Dante Network. That'd be awesome.
We see these cool pictures of the animated versions of the characters of the shows. It's got the O's and the Ankhs and the Hinas and the Dates and the Go-To's and the Secretaries and the Kogamis and the Greeds and the Dr. Mackeys. Now we have the rumors for the summer movies. It says that three new cores and cells appear, hence new greed. Reptile greed, perhaps? Ray, perhaps? Oz gains a new combo and Bots gets a new weapon. The greed is similar. That is similar to Oz and Steel Team 800 years ago appears. So a greed that had random core metals from three types of greeds do exist? Question mark. Edgy uses forbidden metals and becomes ruler of the greeds. Forbidden metals? Question mark. Another combo? Question mark. The actual ultimate form of Oz? Question marks.
Question mark.
We just don't know. Not discuss these rumors.
Okay.
They're rumors. So.
Can't really. I hope Dante doesn't die.
Yeah, I don't want Dante to die. I'm against Dante dying because Dante is sex.
Oh, God.
Six-pack? He was all like.
He's all back to normal.
Have you seen his abs? Damn, delicious.
Oh, God. Let's see what else. I don't really want, wait, is this even in this rumor batch? Yeah, I don't want Gamel and Mizzou to come back.
I don't really care.
Like, it just seems like he's just going to come back to show off the axe, basically. They're like, oh, they come back and go crazy again, and then that might be the next batch.
That's the next batch, you fucker.
Hello.
Spoilers!
Spoiler alert!
So, yeah, like... I mean, everything sounds interesting, but there's just, like, certain things that I don't want to happen.
Like even more combos from the movie and stuff?
Like more figure arts?
It's probably just going to be Buru Kawani, so it
yeah,
doesn't
being like,
matter.
If the Reptile Greed's name is Ray, I totally expect Tsubasa to just come out in the middle of the movie and be like, Ray! Who the fuck are you? He's like, I don't know. He just leaves.
Oh, walks away.
Wait, wrong Ray, sorry.
Or like, I'm just happy that, like, Puto Tira is only Puto Tira.
Yeah, so you don't have more figure art possibilities.
Like, I really wish Tasha Dor was like that, too.
So they didn't have more combos?
Basically,
but what,
yeah.
Then we wouldn't get Epic Taka Tora Condor.
That's true.
Like, super slashing. Like, I didn't mind that. But that makes me happy. And if this is, like, the final combo, it gives me the vibe, like... other than him being berserk, that it's not like this final, like, be-all, end-all combo. It's just, like, the last form to be released. Like, he's just such a... I don't know.
Like, I mean, it could still be the final combo.
Well, I mean, it is the final combo, but it just doesn't give me the vibe like Cyclone Joker Extreme or, like, DK Complete that was, like, an ultimate form of the original. Just kind of, like, the most powerful final combo to be released. Uh-huh. Instead of, like, a super-powered-up Tachoba. Like, I was just thinking how all the O's forms look so different. Look like eight different writers.
Yeah, I agree with that. They're pretty different.
I mean, they got the same generic design, but I mean, like all the helmets are drastically different and everything. Got the epic picture. And then poor Puto Tera sinking. All right, let's go into the next batch.
Next, okay, hold on. The guy gets opens. It opens! Yay!
God.
More rumors! I love it! It's about the real Ankhs and the Gills and coming like the Ozes!
Oh, God.
Okay, so this says how...
No.
Yeah.
You're not doing that.
Just no.
Why?
Because I want to strangle you. This is me still not caring.
This is ridiculous! What's going on?
Oh, he won't let me do the thing I want to do with the thing in the stuff.
I missed last week. It was so peaceful and civilized.
I'm civil.
Mm.
Okay, so have rumors and says that Kasari gets weak after he fights Puto Tira, and then he decides to leave. He just burps and walks away. And then Mizuho and Gamel, they go berserk again, and it's all scary, and then they get defeated by the Battle Axe. And they're all like, rawr, I hate your medals.
Power Bow!
Can we use your Power Bow? Sure. Power Blaster. Wait, what?
And then this is it. Yuva finds Dr. Maki because he wants to survive. And then he transforms into a pseudo-rider using Ebi, Connie, and Sori. Gormel's. No, Yuva doesn't!
No.
And then this is that Date's supposed to use it as well.
Joke flew over his head.
I get it, because he's got the metals and he uses the cells and it does thing with the scorpion and the junk and the scorpion.
Oh my god.
This is that the O's driver's gonna have a repaint? Question mark. I don't know. I'm so scared.
I hope not. I don't want more toys, damn it. I already can't get the ones that are out.
We still gotta have toys for May and June. I don't know.
Shut up.
This is that goo was born from the real Ankh.
O's ends.
And this Ankh probably has a couple of purple cores. And Gil's also going to have a few red cores as well. And he wants to work with the real Ankh, but he's got conditions. I think he wants blowjobs under the desk. I don't know.
He's got conditioning.
And this is that Kogami already has three purple cores. And he gives them to Edgy. And it says also, Hyper Hobby, it says that Edgy's going to get 5 purple core medals. I don't know where the rest are. I'm so scared.
They're diaper. I gotta go find a baby to punch. I can't take this anymore.
He starts laughing, then he starts crying again. Bipolar mess.
Sorry yet?
No, she's a bipolar mess. That's why she fucking left again.
Fair enough. So, let me get these open since, one, I couldn't understand him.
I read them earlier.
And two, I wasn't listening. So
that's your fault, you fucker.
Brian just left, ran around his house screaming. His ears were starting to bleed. He had to clean them out. Okay, well, Like I said when I spoiled it last time, like, it sounds like Mizuho and Gamma are just coming back to show off the axe. Like, we could come up with new yummy designs or just bring these guys back. I don't want an O's driver repaint. I really don't give a shit how the fuck he gets the purple medals, and I really don't give a crap about rumors in general that just tell us how the hell medals are being passed around. All I know is he transforms and they fight and they sell toys. Let's see what else is there. See, I don't really care where he gets the medals from. Something about Ankh. And this birth stuff, I don't know.
Gear being... There we go. Made from, like, Ankh?
Yeah.
Or something, because, I mean, he's obvious... The thing is, like, Dr. Maki has that,
doll?
Picture in his lab.
It's got dinosaurs
on it.
Like,
birds and dinosaurs on it. So, like, I kind of feel like there's some sort of connection between...
Well, birds came from dinosaurs.
I know, that's the point.
Don't yell at me!
Oh my god. This is just awful!
Folks, this is what we have to deal with.
He's yelling at me? I'm gonna tell my mommy.
Good, go do that, and then we can talk about season B.
Tell your mommy to kiss my ass. Reading it again, what the fuck does it mean by pseudo-rider?
Like, pseudo means fake.
I know that, but, like, is he just gonna absorb them and become a rider?
It probably means he looks like a rider but isn't one. Like, he's rider-like, but is not a rider. Stupid fuck.
You don't listen to me at all. Awesome, just go on to the next story.
Okay.
can't take this.
I will boot you from this car.
Okay. This car? We're doing this while driving? Oh, God.
Yes, we are. We're going to push you out. Okay. So we got some Gokaiger rumors, machines, and Gokai Silver, and more.
Yay!
More.
Okay. So now let's enjoy me mispronouncing names and making fun of names. Okay. So the,
oh, God, he's talking.
The first rumors are about the new, like, Legend Mech, what the next, you know, Sentai teams to get, like, a confirmation, a combination with Gokai-O. One of them is going to be rumored to be Cosmo Vulcan for Sun Vulcan. The other one is Sagozo Tyrannosaurus, I mean, Shogo-Ju from Ju Ranger. And then
fun of Jews.
And then the Varadine from Go Ranger. Once combined with Gokai-O, each will be called Sun Gokai-O, Ju Gokai-O, Ju Gokai-O, and Go Gokai-O. Wow, those are some creative names.
I bet you that Ju Gokai-O has a yarmulke.
Probably. He just takes off his giant pirate hat and puts a yarmulke on.
He's got those curls and the beard.
And then also, it's a rumor that all three of them will combine with it to become the San Ju Go Gokai-O.
He won't fight on Saturdays.
Lol. Now, the Gokai Silver rumors are that early on, this guy whose name is like Barry Zorg, I'm going to call him Bronzong, that he was going to be, or he's voiced by the guy who played Eagle Caesar and Caesar X, was going to be Gokai Silver, but now according to Bronzong might not be Gokai Silver at all, and might be a total different actor, and his mech can combine with Gokai Machines. Now here's where we get
into
the fun names.
That's a surprise to me.
That's just an absolute shocker. Mahari Kazuki and Nishioka, oh my god, Ryuchi Chichi have left showbiz because no one wants to hire them. Once played Ryoma as Gingered and Matoi Tatsumi as Go Red were being negotiated with Toei prior. I was negotiating to replace the roles in Gokaiger. I don't know why I wanted to read that as prior. Also, Aso Kobayashi, who left Showbiz also, they're off with Tendo, speaking English, who plays Aso, asshole, how are you? Also, aka Volpanther. Even if he's not been a Red Ranger, he posted in his blog last March he'd be heading to Tokyo for Gokaiger, giving us hints that Toei is quite aggressive in pursuing these Sentai veterans, which is really cool, and they're totally making DK look like an ass out of the show. And then we have some Galvine stuff about Shingen Gokai-O. Yeah. Okay, I almost thought that I said something about Gosei. Anyway, on the box for Galvine, like, its face is that of Shingen Gokai-O. 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 And this shit's also DX. It's very deluxe, it says here in this article. It gives us a hint. This candy toy here also in this picture shows what the deluxe version might look like. Once you turn the dial and open up with arms and legs, you'll see the five kanji. And we've already seen sort of pictures of this.
I like kanji.
Two swords. One is a long sword, probably the shank from Gokai Blue. No, it's supposed to be Daishinken, and the other one's Reika Daizanto. So all I know is that this shit's DX. It's posted everywhere, so it is legit. So it's safe to buy it, folks. So let's see. What are the thoughts? I don't know. I'm interested to see what other Sentai teams get Gokai machines and how they work.
Want more toys.
Even if these three end up not being true, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some at some point that all combine at once. It's always cool to get more actors back because DK didn't do that, you know, but I'm hoping for people that I actually know. And I don't really have a lot to say about Shingen Gokai-O because I've sort of seen it. There was that naked picture online a while back. I saw of it. It was blurred out on our site, but I found the X-rated pictures. So, anyone else's thoughts?
Yeah, I love that we're getting more reds. Because they're cool guys, they're reds. And
I actually think we have too many reds, so I'm never buying another red figure again because I have too many reds already.
And it's just clever how they took and can combine Sun and Ju and Go, and it makes 35 and like the different teams. And that was kind of cool. I thought that was nifty. And I'm interested to see what those combos would look like. But whatever, and I'm assuming that would mean three more toys, so yay, more stuff for us to spend money on. I know, right?
Titsu.
And But I want to see, since they mentioned this Gokai Silver Robo, I really want to see what it is now.
I know. Like, the thought crossed my mind about, like, a Robo for him. But, like, I didn't really think about it too much.
Yeah. Neither did I. I was just like, oh, look, cool changers and, like, anchors and shit. And then I forgot.
And then I forgot?
And it's like, you know all our stories?
Okay, so I just looked at the picture of the Cosmo Vulcan. It basically looks like Gosei Ultimate, kind of. It's like a triangle-shaped ship, so it'll probably attach on the back as a giant triangle, and...
Probably. That's like the most intricate transformation I've ever seen, ever.
And, I don't know, I still kind of would enjoy having Gokai Silver be Bronzong, but whatever, we'll see what happens there.
What if he evolves? He might not be able to fit in the suit.
Yeah. And I'm excited about getting it to Gigma Galion because it is DX, it is the shit, it is the real deal. And I can legitimately call it DX in my review, so that's cool. And although, I mean, I can just say whatever I want DX. I mean, I made some M&M's DX. Shit, I can just do that. I'm that awesome. Mickey's DX, all that fucking shit's DX. DX is DX, fuck you. And
you're not a deluxe hunter.
Your mother's a deluxe hunter.
I was promoted to Deluxe Hunter.
And Shinken Gokaio excites me in my pants. So I'll let Shuki talk now. While I take care of that.
What he said. Like, really, though. I mean, it's hard to really judge because there's no pictures. Yeah. But, I mean, as for, like, Shinken Gokaio and stuff, from what I've seen, which isn't that much, but it does look really fun. And mm-hmm. It's Shinken, so I'm going to love it regardless.
And then the fact that they put the kanji there inside of Galion is just...
Yeah, because kanji makes the world go...
It makes them constipated. At least they can catch a Mentes and play some pilot... Not pilot wings. That head game where you kill each other's heads.
Space Raiders?
Yeah, there we go.
Vagina Raiders.
Like, I'm excited for, like, the T-Rex. Like, T-Rexes are fun.
I
like T-Rexes.
I was actually surprised they even mentioned Go Rangers because they never actually had, like, a robot. And...
Yeah, like, I mean, I understand we'd probably get something for Go Ranger because it's Go Ranger. But, like, they didn't have a mecha.
That plane thing they've made, like, 50,000 Daiso cards of. Every friggin' set has that same damn plane as a card. I'm like, really? Could you find something else, maybe? No. But yeah.
It sounds fun. I'm really stoked for Gokai Silver. Like, we went over that before, but like, I want to see his robot.
I want to see.
Like, I want to see everything.
After getting Gokai, I'm on this like giant robot kick.
Me like, too.
I want to buy more robots.
I've been on a giant robot kick for the past 4 months. Except Iron Hide. I had to make more room in the closet for the robots because they took up all the space.
So it forced him to finally come out because he had to put some more robots in there. Lol, that was funny.
It was funny. Awesome came out finally. Took him long enough.
So, I guess it's time for...
This is ramble time. Oh, I'm sorry. I messed you up. Look at that.
No, it's not ramble time.
I just felt like interrupting you and screwing you up like you do all the rest of our jokes.
This is ramble time.
Shingles.
Shingles, duh.
Seriously, Shingles hero time now. Hello? Girl, I got...
Girl, I got a Gokai change. Yeah. So I know you all missed the awesomeness of my summaries from last week, so you get cool Jedimon summaries again this week, so it's great. So we're on episode 8 of the Gokaigers, opening with Gokaio just poning those blue grunt guys.
Brian, we just started. There's no yawning yet.
What?
We only got 45 minutes of summary to go through. Like, you yawned as soon as they started.
and they call out Magi Dragon, and they end the battle. The bad guys, they're pissed off. They're just, rah, 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 I'm so mad, rah, 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 I keep losing, rah, 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 rah. It's like, okay, you need to stop now. And so the big blue guy here, he takes Bronzong away, and they're like, let's go find somebody to fight them. And they're like, whatever. So the angry-looking guy and the chick are like, I don't understand. What are they here for? Why do they keep beating us? What the hell? And so they pull out the wanted posters, and they go through the Cliff Notes version of where all five of them came from. Well, not really. but first we get let's go, Kaija, go, go, let's go, let's Ashiwa Tore, Kimi no Mai.
Yes.
You got a problem
with
me? Huh?
End.
So apparently, Marvelous is a survivor of the Red Pirates, who are a rebel
communist
force. Apparently so. They were a rebel force that fought the Zangak.
Better dead than red, I always say.
So they're like, oh, we have to fear him. And then like they're talking about how Joe Gibkin, the blue transvestite, used to be part of the Imperial Special Forces, but then he left.
And he wore an eye patch for no good reason.
I know, right? Then he left to go become a pirate, and they're like,
what?
Probably. And they're like, what the hell? And then like Aim to Family was a princess of the planet Family, and they destroyed it. They thought she was dead, but she's a pirate. And then that Milfy chick, they're like, well, she used to like steal energy crystals or whatever from their warehouses, and now she's like kicking our asses. And then when they get to green, they hold up Thunder Courier, and they both look at it like, yeah, no, we don't have to worry about him. He's fine. I'm like, you're right. Throws away.
Like, I hope he has some, like, mystery and, like, he's actually some sort of badass.
Yeah, like, at the end, he reveals, like, he takes off his mask all Scooby-Doo and he's actually someone that looks cool.
So, the bad guys are
he's
all...
He's actually decayed and he's come to invade the series. Fuck it up.
Oh, God. So, they're summoned some spies to go find out what's going on with these Gokaigers. And it's like a little barnacle and like a giant barnacle attached to a dude. I don't
Mermaid
know.
Mermaid man and barnacle boy.
So, what? The Gokaigers are on the ship and they're playing with baseballs, and I'm the family got some sweet treats for desserts, and Milfy wants one, but she can't have one. And what are those?
Big chocolate balls.
Balls. They're shells of chocolate balls.
Because they look really good. I want one.
I want
to put a big giant chocolate ball in my mouth.
Balls is amazing.
Salty balls.
And Marvelous hits a baseball and smacks Green in the head. It was funny. And then he hits him in the head with the bat. silly Green. And then, oh God, these guys are hilarious. The spies, right? So the little ball, it pulses when it talks, so you know it's talking. And they have like a touching goodbye because they're brothers or whatever. And they're like, yes, if things happen, just leave me there. And like you see the little robot grunt guys, and they're like crying and getting all sentimental. And it's pretty damn funny. And so he tries to throw Barnacle Boy here onto the ship. And he misses like 6 times and throws him in the water. And you see, the robot dudes are just like getting all tired and lounging around and getting all pissed off. And then he finally makes it into the crow's nest and they like applaud. It's pretty funny. So he goes and he's sneaking around and he hears them talking about, you know, they're trying to find the greatest treasure in the universe. And they're like, we need the powers of all 34 Super Sentais. And they're like, how many do we have? 3. And like, oh,
this
damn.
This many.
This many. 3. It's going to take a while. And so little ball Barnacle Boy here, kids, keeps having to hide because people keep almost finding him. And he just keeps getting into shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
I know, right?
Brand it.
And so let's see. They're trying to find out how they look for the treasure, and so they're trying to get more info. And Milfy again tries to eat some sweet treats, and I'm the family's like, no. So they want to go find out find the next treasure clue, and Navi's gone. Like, oh, damn it.
That's because Volkov killed him and destroyed Home Tree.
I'm like, great, what are we going to do now? We can't find treasure. Maybe it was because Aim to Family spilled tea on her. And you see a flashback of, like, you're just spilling a whole fucking pot of tea on Aim to Family, you know, on Navi. And meanwhile, during all this, they knock over the chest of keys where the ball was hiding. And they're trying to pick them all up, and it's pretty funny. And they're like, well, maybe it was because Green, like, used her as a pillow. And they flash back to Green, like, sleeping on her, and Navi's going, don't drool on me, don't drool on me. And they're like, yeah, she's probably rusted from all the drool, lols. And so then the little barnacle boy here decides to hide in the box with sweet treats. And Milfie's like, oh, good, everyone's looking for Navi, I'll go have some food. So she's not looking what she's doing. She grabs him and tries to bite into him. And he gets all scared and runs away, and she gets all upset. It was funny again. And he... So let's see. They're trying to find Navi. They still can't find Navi. And meanwhile, this dude just hiding all over the ship. But then you see Navi standing next to Milfie. And they're like, hey, what's going on? And Milfie's like, Navi's missing. We can't find her. Have you seen her? And Navi's like, no, I haven't seen her. And they're like, wait a minute. And she looks over. It's like, wait, you're Navi. Like, oh, yeah.
Volkov was just kidding.
And she's got sunglasses.
But he did cut in front of William in line.
And a Hawaiian shirt and a hat. And I'm like, what are you wearing? And like, well, I went out for some sun, and these high school chicks saw me, and they're like, oh, I'm so cute, kawaii. And they gave me these clothes. And they hugged me. And so then they've got the bird tied on a rope hanging from the ceiling. So I guess she can't leave again. And she tells them that they've got a meeting waiting for them on an island in the sky. And they're like, what? Which clearly they haven't watched, you know, Wild Force and seen Decker, because...
Castle in the Sky was a Miyazaki movie.
Whoa.
Anyway. So then little Barnacle Boy shows himself, and Marvel and Joe just walks over with a baseball bat and, like, smacks him out of the ship. Lols.
He's like, oh, I'm the greatest spy ever. And he's like, bam! And he's dead.
Yeah.
Like, you are not Team Bartowski. You are not legit.
And so these five
Volkov
come out
for
of the
Team Bartowski!
And they're all like, Gokai change!
Gokai-ya!
So they roll call, and they're doing their epic fighting thing that they do. Green trips up some dudes with a rope, and then, like, uses his sword to, like, drum on their heads. I don't know. This is, like, one of those goofy fight scenes where stupidness ensues. So then they're like, hey, let's have some fun. So they go all...
Go Ninja!
Foreshadowing much? And, Green, who's now Gal Black, does that... the thing where he picks up the enemy and puts him on his shoulders and spins around, and they're clawing him and beating the living hell out of him. And it's fun times. You know, lots of shenanigans going on.
Like, shenanigans. All right,
let's finish them. So they switch to
cheat codes.
Denjima!
It's all epic Denji Man transformation, and they use, like, some Denji fist punch thing. I don't know. I've never seen this program.
They use really punch.
Yeah, it basically looks like Magi Punch, and there's, like, lights everywhere, and Green punches all gay-like, and they just destroy the grunt guys. So now they're going to fight the spies, and like, oh, we're going to get you, brr. And so they're like, you know what? Screw you. Let's do this.
Goggle 5!
So they turn to Goggle 5, and they surround them. And they get out their baton ribbons. Okay, now for those who don't know, Goggle 5 would defeat their enemies using the power of rhythmic gymnastics. That was what their thing was. So they all had, like, gymnastics equipment as their weapons. And they also had ribbon. And so they wrap up the spy guys with the ribbon and, like, toss them around. They turn back into Gokaigers. And they finish them off with their swords doing a final wave. See, you missed that last week.
I tried.
It probably
wasn't. I think they could have used the sword and stuff.
So they beat them up. They get grown giant size. They Kaizo Gatai and Gokaio comes in. They smack him around a bit. And they get out a baseball bat. And they make Barnacle Boy blast off like Team Rocket. And so then the bigger one is all like, no, you know, beat up my brother, lols. And then Gokaio like tosses the bat behind him, which I'm pretty sure is probably not safe.
Because the bat probably got pwned.
Yeah, a bat that size would destroy a couple of buildings. That's, you know, but
they're
whatever.
Pirates and they don't care.
So then they pull out their deck of keys and they make Deku Guy Gokaio, and they destroy him, and they're all like, lols. And the bad guy's like, no, we lost, but at least we know what they're doing. Let's find that island and stop them. And then the Gokaiders are all, they know where we're looking for. Let's go find that island.
According to their Twitter, it's in Colorado.
It's in Colorado?
Yeah.
Fuck yes! So I can go find it now.
Keep an eye out for the Gokaigalion flying around.
Alright.
So they're like, let's circle the planet a few times and find it. And
a new video to my XP log, searching for the Gokaigalion. Where is it?
So they raise anchor and they fly away and the episode ends.
Running down the streets. Gokaigalion! Marvelous! Oh, this is gonna be epic.
But it was a fun episode. Like, it wasn't like one of those, oh my god, it was epic. But like, it was fun. It was something different. And it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. The villains were funny, and there was a lot of funny moments. And it was cool to see like those older Sentai teams getting used. And it actually kind of fit in with the goofiness of the show, with the whole rhythmic gymnastics and the silly punching thing. So all in all, I enjoyed the episode, and I'm excited about next week with the return of Gal Red and some Gal Lion action. So you guys go.
Okay. So pretty much like what he said is it was an enjoyable episode. Like, it wasn't the greatest shit ever. It was more like a funny, like, silly episode to laugh at. Like, the Gokai bat thing was a little silly for me. Like, I thought it was kind of dumb personally. I think that they should have done away with this episode entirely and just made Geki a two-parter, because Geki needs that, because it's Geki. But what else was funny? I thought the part with Navi was funny, where he's like, Navi, have you seen Navi? Like,
yeah.
No. Just the beginning was funny with they're going all their profiles and they're like, Don, nope, he's not important.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's fantastic. No threat. I don't even know where the fuck he came from. He was just there and he's trying to be Asakura, but he's not. But yeah, it was an entertaining episode. It was funny. There were some parts that made me laugh, but overall it was just nothing special. And the what was it, Goggle 5? Those were pretty much some freaks, man. Seriously. He's like,
yeah, like, I mean, I knew it sounded funny on paper, like, oh, we use, you know, they use the
Denjiman.
The Denjiman and the Goggle 5 that they use, like, the rhythmic gymnastics. It sounds funny, oh. And then you actually see it in person, you're like, wow, this is dumber than I expected. Like,
oh, I like the way how they all said Gao when they were fighting, and I like how Gokai Blue, like, said it, like, all, like, he just had to say it, he was like, Gao. And Gokai Red just said it like a badass, and then like Gokai Pink said like "rar."
Yeah, no, it was yellow. Yeah.
Was it?
Yellow was like "rar."
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Like, why do you have to be so adorable?
Like, Red just like touches this guy, grabs this guy's face, and he's like, "Gow," dead face. I'm like, damn, he's like way more badass than Cole, and our Cole Japanese counterpart. Okay, your turn, Brian.
I hate to be that guy, but what they said, like, it was really fun to watch, because I enjoy seeing the older Sentai teams I don't know really anything about, just because it's, like, it's really entertaining to watch them, because I'm clueless, but...
That's normal.
Like, it was fun. It wasn't a good episode by any means. It wasn't important at all, but it was still... like, all in all, fun Gokaiger. Like,
well, I mean, it did give us like the Cliff Notes version of their backstory.
Yeah.
To set up later, like, a more thorough explanation of where they came from and why they.
Because this show is actually structured like that.
Yeah, so we do know a little bit about them now, and like kind of, okay, well, you know, Joe came from the Zangyak, and then we're going to find out probably later what happened. And but
it's
and
like,
also,
why do I have to wear this fucking eye patch? I'm not even blind.
Well, what I found is that, like, it was one of those fun episodes, and with this show, the fun episode actually was enjoyable, as opposed to, like, the silly, goofy episode just being coming off as stupid and, like, retarded and not working at all.
Right.
Gosager.
I feel like this was Gokaiger at. No, I'm not going to say Gokaiger at its silliness, because, I mean, we're only a couple episodes in. But, like, even at its silliness, it was still really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it partly has to do with, like, I enjoy the cast, I enjoy the suits, I enjoy, like, everything about the show, so.
It was pretty silly. Like, the villain was very non threatening, and, like, the way they fought. Like, I think that. Don was playing like musical notes on the whatever they're called.
Yeah, he was. He's like do re mi fa re do. I'm like,
what are you doing? Stop embarrassing yourself.
What are you doing? Stop.
He's doing stuff. Guy doing stuff. I hope he's in the Sentai movie. Guy doing stuff.
It was fun to see Gao again. Like
again.
Like, well, we've just seen so much Gao.
That is the one thing that does bother me a little bit, is that they've used Gao, like, if you count next week's episode, like, four episodes in a row.
Stop whoring Armadillo already. Oh, wait, wrong show.
You know, but, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, really, could you pick someone else?
Like, I can see what they're doing. Like, I understand that Geki didn't have a toy, but it makes me mad that they're just like, oh, a Geki episode, and this one, they're, like, epic foreshadowing to Gao for, like, 8 years. Like, God damn it. Everyone knows Geki was better.
Yeah.
I know you're getting a toy, but jeez.
You're getting an epic toy because it can be Gao and Shinkinger, but. You know. Whatever.
I liked it.
How about that, them there O's?
And I helped. Oh, yeah, O's.
Have you guys seen that new blue combo? I heard rumors of a dinosaur one, too, and a legendary creature with the zombies.
I'm still on the green combo.
Jaden's gonna be the head. He's gonna look like a wax dummy.
I'm still trying to figure out which I should watch first, episode 16 or 17.
17.
I don't know how these numbers go. It's a little confusing for me.
I'm not sure.
Let's stop making fun of Matt and just move on.
It's more fun if Matt were actually gonna listen to this and hear it.
Yeah.
He's a douche.
He's a douche writer.
He came up with that and then left. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, all right. So we're on to episode 29 of O's. We're getting back to actual story instead of the silliness that was the 1,000th episode, as fun as that was, featuring fake Susan Boyle.
Susan Boyle.
So, yeah, it starts off with Edgy waking up to find that Ankh is out on a rooftop somewhere, searching for whoever has his core medals, because, you know, he's all freaky like that. And then we cut to Kogami. Alright, this has just fantastic. So apparently it's Doksamaki's birthday. He's sitting on the couch with a birthday party hat on, a cake in front of him, and the doll's there. The doll has a birthday hat on, doll has a cake with a candle in it. Secretary here, she's lighting candles. For some reason, every time she lights the doll's candle, the candle gets blown out, which is really creepy. And Kogami basically is like, all right, so your birthday present from me to you is basically me telling you that I don't like people getting in my way. Now, I know you're working with that Kazari guy, so if... if you get in my way with that whole Kazari thing, yeah, I'm going to be pretty pissed, and I'm going to wipe the floor with your ass because I'm Cake Boss.
Make you disappear.
I'm Cake Boss, and that is how I roll. So, Habamate! It's really creepy.
That honestly scared me.
Who, me?
Like, oh, fuck, he falls back in his chair.
And, like, the secretary, like, she gets caught, like, shaking the doll. Like, the doll has shaken baby syndrome now. I don't know.
The doll's so fucking creepy. Dante was right.
She's about to light it on fire or something. So, but yeah, it's funny. And, like, Maki keeps, like, flashing back to his sister. And then instead of blowing out the candles, he sucks in to blow. I don't know what to blow.
What can I say? Maki sucks.
Like, I don't know what another term for that besides blowing out the candles. But instead of blowing, he sucks in the candles.
Sucking off the candles.
So we see... Looks like the doll was once a chick and it got burned in a fire. I don't know. It got burned by blue flame. I think they put it near the goblet. It got
burned by blue flare? By blue flame? You run around with Greymon, you see what happens.
They put it near the goblet and it got chosen for the Triwizard Tournament and it got lit on fire.
Greg Hickory just shows up. He's like, hey, I'm going to be a vampire. And then Carly shows up and she's like, you're stupid.
So Maki's visiting his sister's grave. Kazali shows up and shows that he still has yet to absorb a Chach metal, a Zo metal, a Kamakiri metal, and an Unagi metal.
He still has his metal sets.
Maki's like, well, hurry up, because seriously, Cake Boss is on to us, and I don't feel like getting stopped. He's like, well, I'm still missing a medal, so I don't want to go crazy face. And Maki's like, no, you're supposed to go crazy face, unless you're a coward little pansy. And, you know, talking about ending of the world and all this crap about ending the world. And Kizaru creates a yummy from him. Hooray. And then the yummy hugs Maki's sister's grave and, like, cracks the headstone. It was really weird. This yummy is just creepy.
He was humping the headstone because, like, God, his sister was so hot.
I know, right? And then we see Ankh and we see left arm of Ankh and they're looking for each other all, like, epically, longingly lovers-like. And so you count the medals, 1, 2, and 3. Life goes on, anything goes. Coming up, oh. That is not enough time to scroll through the intro, okay? You go too fast.
Go to.
Hey, bro,
so, Kazali's all like, all right, well, while you guys do that, I'm going to go find out about this whole Ankh and Bird Yummies thing. So, see you later. And Hina-chan and Restaurant Chick are handing out flyers for the restaurant because they're having an Italian theme or something. I don't know. The Yummy, it starts attacking people and hugging them. And
it's Volkov?
I think so. And Edgy finds Ankh and is like, so... You forgot about me again, buddy? What you doing, man? What you doing? You can't go around without me. You need me. I do that whole metals thing and the pachu pachu taka torabata, remember? And he brings Ankh some ice candy because that's what he loves.
He's got a bunch of fruit. And then Dent shows up and cooks it for him in a proper meal.
I know, right? And then Goto and Date they're training. And apparently Goto's going to go back to Kogami Foundation now. And he's going to do research on the metals and O's and stuff. And Zate's like, cool. And after he leaves on the bike, the Gorilla Candroid starts like going, arr.
Akiko's there.
Yeah. So Zate's like, time for action, let's go. And Ankh's Spidey sense starts tingling and is like, yummy, let's go do this.
And we see
Dr. Maki's watching things through a Botic Android. And meanwhile, he's playing with a Tarek Android. I guess he got his from HLJ because, I don't know, he probably got it somewhere that ships faster than HLJ.
He got that turbo style option from CS Toys by sticking his penis on the screen.
Probably. And so he's like saying how his desire to end the world, well, his he wants to end the world, but it's not really a desire, so like a sacred mission. And you see... the that picture that we were talking about earlier that has the birds and it's also got bees on it. I don't know why there's bees involved, but
the birds and the bees
and dinosaurs.
That's the story I was always told when I was little. Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the dinosaurs. See, when a man loves a woman, they both get killed by two Puto Tira combo. Because he needs to show off his new weapon.
And he refers to it as the sacred mission. And then the yummy turns into the panda chach yummy. So it's part panda and part chach, which means...
That's like my favorite yummy ever.
Let's see what happens. Date shows up and transforms into Basu. All right, cool.
Just put a Transformers noise in there.
So he starts fighting, and then we, doing his little birth shit, and then we see those red feathers, and Kazali finds one, and Ankh and Edgy find one, and they start trying to find out this thing, and they're like, "What about the yummy?"
See, now when birth Transformers, we can be all. There we go. I have it on my phone. I forgot.
And Date summons the crane arm.
That's what we needed for Axel.
And he starts using crane arm on him, but then he almost hits this chick, and he's like, "Oh, nope, can't hit the chick."
And gotta bang her later.
Gotta do it myself. One of the flyers for the restaurant gets blown under the camera, and Dr. Maki sees it and freaks out because, you know, the whole restaurant chick thing. And the panda yummy thing runs away, and it wants to hug things. It just keeps hugging anything it can find. And it's like one of those kids that like hugs something and then kills it by accident because it doesn't know any better. It's pretty much what happens. And Ankh and Angie run into Kazari. What?
Bison men.
What?
Never mind. Just go ahead.
And Kazali's like, "I remember seeing these feathers 800 years ago. Let's see you drop them, little face." And so Kazari starts attacking them. And Ankh's like, "Here, Edgy, take these medals and do stuff."
Turn your server on.
I know, right? And he's all... So, you see left arm of Ankh is like watching them or whatever, and they're fighting, and then, feathers. And back at Kogami, Goto is like, "I want to come back to work," and, Secretary's eating cake, and he, Kogami's like, "Well, we actually have someone who's leading the Ridebender squad, so we really don't have very many jobs available right now." And Secretary's like, "I could use an assistant." So basically, he'd be the assistant's assistant. And
I want that job. All you have to do is eat cake.
I know. And
fucking right.
So Goto's gonna go prove himself. So he just goes over and like grabs a fork and just starts eating a chunk of cake, shoveling it into his mouth like a crazy person.
And he does it all perfect. It's like this tiny fork, and he gets this huge chunk of cake perfectly on it. I've seen that like 8 times in Japanese shows. Like, how do they do it? I do that. The cake just like collapses.
I know. Oh my god, I just paused on this creepy looking face of Cake Boss.
Moment of silence for creepy face.
Well, if you haven't downloaded at the most moment, just pause it at 1705 where it has that subtitle and you'll just see the creepiest looking face. It's kind of scary. He's just shoveling cake into his mouth. And so I guess he's got the job. And meanwhile, Edgy's still fighting Kazali and
Calzone.
Yeah, Calzone, whatever. And feathers just start flying down from everywhere. And this figure descends from the sky with one wing. And you see, and it's like agreed. And it's missing its right arm and part of its face, which is really creepy looking. And for some reason, unlike the other greeds, it's the missing part isn't gray, it's purple.
Kitty.
Your mother. And it's all like, where am I? It's all childlike. Like Sora. Not Sora, the Hagaku Rainbow. No, not that kind. And Kasali's like, "Ankh." And Edge's like, "Huh? No, that's the dude over there, Shingles." And it's all confused. And he's like, "Where am I?" Shoots flamethrower out of his hand. And so Edge's all like, "I know. Let's do like Ash. Let's fight fire with fire because that works." And Ankh's like, I don't know, full body Ankh is like flying around attacking. and like beating up Edgy, and he's all confused. So they start like flamethrowing each other, and for some reason Edgy has to get in this epic pose when he does it. I'm really not sure why, but apparently that's required. So Ankh's like, Shingle's Ankh is all like, "Kill him!" And Eddie's like, "But that's you. But you." And he's like, "No, kill him.
I am me, and you are me, and you are me." And he's like, "Detective, you? Who died? And, you? No, me."
And Kazari's like, "I see. So that's what I thought. This is why Ankh can only revive one arm." And so they're fighting. Dr. Maki rolls up on the Panda Yami and is like, in his little blue rad bug, and is like, "I don't think so, Biznatch." Pulls open his flasher's jacket. There's Kandroids all in it. He pops two Terra Kandroids.
Do you want tickets to the bears or actual bears?
They fly out and use supersonic. Niyami like beats one of them up and he starts sending out more Terra Kandroids. The two chicks in the restaurant here and they come out to see what's going on. The Yami attacks Dr. Maki, but he's saved by Basu, who's all like, "What are you doing out here? Let me fight." Wolves. And so he starts beating up on the Yummy. The chicks come and see Dr. Maki, and they're going to take care of him. And he like starts freaking out because the chick looked like his sister. More flashbacks to Triwizard Tournament entrances when the doll gets burned. And Dante's fighting the Yummy, and the Yummy hugs him. And he's like, "Dude, I don't roll that way. No, thank you." And he gets like drill arm while he's being hugged, and he starts drill arming the piss out of this Yummy. And let's see. And then the Yummy like jumps off the side of the bridge onto a truck and is like, "Bye bye." And then full body Ankh is fighting Edgy, and Edgy, I think he's doing prominence drop. I really don't know. I just see him doing a flaming kick through the air. And so full body Ankh's like, "I got this." He does the same thing like back at him, and they collide, and Edgy DN transforms, and.
So he's still touched on door then.
I will beat your face in. So then Shingle's Ankh comes down and they like see each other and full body Ankh's like, "It's me," and shoots fire at him and is like, "Hey, you're me." And Shingle's Ankh's like, "Me? What? No, you're me." And they do like this, I don't know what they're doing, like rainbow wave pulse firing at each other.
You blast.
And so it's like canceling out or something, but then like it changes and full body Ankh starts sucking cell metals like crazy out of Shingle's Ankh, and Edgy's laying there going Ankh Ankh, and then it ends.
It just ends. The minute says Power Rangers RPM ends abruptly.
So yeah, it was pretty cool. It's all like we get to see Ankh's greed form mostly. So that's Nito. It's Nito Burrito.
Even if he is Red Falcon.
Yeah, it does look like Red Falcon, which is epic because Live Man's the shiznits. And but yeah, it was a cool episode. Panda Chachi Yummy for the win. And creepy doll action in Kogami. And that whole thing was just disturbing on so many levels. And Goto shoveling cake in his mouth like a greedy hog. You know. That was fun. Just the whole thing. It was a good episode. I can't wait to see the next episode and see what happens more with, because more is explained about the O's and the yummies and the gummies, the greeds and the metals. So it'll be fun. You guys speak now.
For the record, probably my favorite yummy ever.
Oh yeah,
okay.
Right? He's Make so with the panda metal on the
he's
show.
He's so fluffy.
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 So epic. And he can, like, run away at the speed of light.
A three-headed dog?
Yes.
Lol.
Expelliarmus!
Things Jedi Mon does when he thinks no one's listening.
So you guys going to give your opinion or what?
Why don't Brian go first? Cause
okay. I really, really liked it. Like, I'm just super, super excited for the next episode. Because it's supposed to like explain everything and stuff. Because that's all I really want is explanations at this point. Like I need to know more about the whole Ankh thing.
Ankh Ankh. I think what happens is that this Ankh, the full body one, is gonna end up getting the Ultimatrix, and he's gonna go ultimate, and that's the dinosaur greed.
Okay.
That's what happens. He turns into Ultimate Ankh, which is actually Dinosaur Greed. And he says Ultimate Ankh Monkey and like Juju or Gorilla.
Like, first I was trying to figure out why he'd be using Taja Door against Ankh.
That's because he was fighting Kazari first.
Yeah, and then well, he just showed up. One, he was fighting Kazari at first, and two, Ankh seems epic. To be making him use Taja Door a lot so that if Ankh gets attacked, he doesn't lose his course.
Yeah. Well, not to mention that it's pretty epic to see, like, full body Ankh fighting Taja Door.
Yeah. Like, in it itself is some sort of dynamic of epicness.
Yeah, it's like epic girl, like, we're all Maltres and shit.
Yeah, 100% done with Lego Star Wars.
Yeah, I heard you clicking. I thought, I just click, 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 click.
I just have to buy Savage Opress.
I'm
going to
give my thoughts before this
And Battle Damage Vader.
Savage Opress, nub.
Savage.
That's how they say it. Watch the show. Okay.
He's all I know is he's scary looking, okay?
So, all right, Brian, can I go?
And yeah, then, like, I enjoyed it, and...
touch my penis.
Like, I really wish I could just talk more about it, but, like, there really wasn't too much to talk about in this episode. Yeah.
Like, it was a really good episode. Like, I really liked it, and I'm really hoping that I can stop saying really, that they deliver next time. Like, the last time we had a good lead-in episode and we were all excited, I think, was when, like, the whole mystery around the other bird yummy was, like, is Ankh doing it or whatever? Like, the next episode, they were like, just, no, it wasn't him. Don't worry about it. Don't you worry.
Well, that's the thing is, like, Kamen Rider has a history of that, of, like, build up, and then just limp noodle.
Except Double. Double was never limp.
No,
it's always hard.
I disagree, actually. Like,
who?
About Double. Like, it had a lot of build up, but it didn't really have too much oomph. But it had a lot of substance because the characters were so good in the...
Well, it did have more episodes where, like, the build-up, like, the second episode sort of lived up to the hype of the build-up episode. Like, because, like, the Oz one just lately have been disappointing. Like, they get you all excited, and then, like, it's kind of like they say they're going to give you answers, and they don't.
Yeah, I know what you
like,
mean.
Like, Lost. Like, I'm really hoping we get, like, serious answers this time. Like, it's very intriguing, for sure. Like, Oz is getting a lot of mysteries, and I'm excited. And I hope they don't just leave a lot of them open.
Yeah, that is one thing I do enjoy, like, how, like, mysterious, like, Oz as a whole is, because we're, like, 30 episodes in, we're not too far from the end.
Yeah.
We're about 20 episodes away from the end, and we don't really know that much about the power or the greeds, and we just know that they were created by the metals and stuff, by alchemists.
Full Metal Alchemists, yes.
He was created by Edward Elric, and...
Like, I'm excited to find out who's Ankh is. Is just, like, a split personality of him? Does Ankh have DID?
Yeah, like, that's what I want to know the most.
Is it the old O's and he just went berserk and thinks he's Ankh? He's like, I want to be Ankh, so I'm going to steal his medals and stick them up my butt and then become a Greek.
Like, my explanation with that part was, like, if Ankh is the original O's...
Okay, which Ankh? Wait. Shingles Ankh or...
No, Ankh as a whole.
Oh, okay.
Like, if Ankh as a whole is the original O's turned into a Greed, like, I get the feeling, like, Shingles Ankh is, like, more the personality of the original O's.
And
then the remainder of him, though, like, the full body, just, like, it has such, like, a childlike personality.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just kind of, like, the remainder of, like, him.
Yeah, it's just like his...
Like, it's just
like
everything
out his personality.
Dumb.
Yeah, he's just like, me fight! Roar! He's MMPR!
Me fight! Roar!
It's MMPR's writing staff all put into a hole.
It's like, that's why I feel. I mean, hell, Gear.
Gear?
Gil could be the original Lowe's, for all we know, so...
For all we know, this full body Ankh is going to become Gil, and he's going to evolve or some shit, or de-evolve, or whatever.
Congratulations, you're Ankh evolved into Gil.
But, it's definitely interesting. And I'm curious to what happened to the original O's and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm curious where Yuva is, too. Where is that bright green guy?
He kind of appears and then disappears.
He's just like, hey!
I was trying to find a way to bring back Mazul and Gamma like those rumors said.
Probably,
right. I kind of like Yuva better because he looks more epic than Kazari. Kazari's just all, like, bitchy with his fucking, like, new age style hat and shit. Like, I'd rather have Yuva be the big bad. I mean, I like Big Bad, like the more important one right now.
Bad Beetleborgs?
Well, because Yuba's all, like, badass. Like, it makes more sense for him to be, like, the more powerful one. Kizaru's just sitting around like, hey, I'm a cheap Ryutaros with Ryuta rip
like,
off.
Kizaru only gets so much focus because he's, like, the only one that has, like, the balls to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, because Uva's just sitting there with a bunch of medals going, I don't want to do it.
I'm still waiting for Human Kizaru to start, like, breakdancing like Deno.
I know.
With the climax theme
like,
in the background.
He just gives me so many Ryutaros vibes.
He should be playing Deno in the movies instead of, like, first we had this kid, now we got nothing. So, yeah, it was good. I hope it definitely pays off, and I hope the rest of O's pays off. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't end like a dream, like Hannah Montana.
Then it
ends.
Well, it would also probably the whole original O's and Ankh thing would also help to explain the whole I want all medals. I need all core medals. Just get core medals. Lots of fucking core medals. Like, okay, you need to calm the fuck down.
Down.
Now it's time for
Samurai Summaries with Shuki.
The return.
The return.
The Shukpire strikes back.
The Shukpire?
The Shukpire. It came out of Shukpire. So like an empire of shoes. Not like an evil version of shoe empire. What the fuck? Kevin's getting into his latex suit again. I can't be a part of this. Oh god, was that the whip?
What is he doing?
He's getting into his skin-tight cat suit.
Okay.
And that was Samurai. So.
Thoughts? Okay, so. The beginning of the episode is verbatim Shinkenger, like, down to the sentence, pretty much.
We checked. It's TVN subs.
It is. They hired a new TVN subs interpreter. Mark Sloan or something like that. Oh, wait. That's from Grey's Anatomy.
So it's basically just Octaroo or whatever the hell his name is.
Stevie's a man whore. McDreamy's better.
Talking to Dayu about our
Sorry.
Zandrid. About
Plan Zandrid.
Like, the Shiba clan. I'm like, oh god, they kept that.
You know, right?
I'll get to that later. And so it's verbatim Shinkenger, including the Moogers attacking Asian people. So, then we get the theme song. Google Pope Bridges.
Those Moogers are really racist against Asians, aren't they?
I know, right?
Well, they are like men that stare at goats or something like that.
They are like Boston. Very racist.
There we go.
So we get, like, this epic, like, running morph thing that was pretty cool.
It was. They ran through the kanji, and it was all like, ah!
So Bulk and Spike are all scared of the monster. Like, I understand Spike, but Bulk shouldn't really be scared at this point.
He kind of took on the
Controns. There should be a place for him. He should just be like, oh, it's a monster. Like, considering how he was at the end of space and stuff, but...
Yeah, he was like, die, Quantrons! You have such cool names, sort of.
He's probably got Alzheimer's from that now. It's been a few years.
No,
that's your erased memory.
That's what I was going to say. And so they're running from the Moogers, and, like, they fall, and they're about to get attacked, but they get saved by Mia. And Spike's like, ooh, Pink Ranger. So now he has a crush on the Pink Ranger.
He's got the yellow fever.
I got the yellow plague. Asian tits. I want to squeeze them. That's a Harold and Kumar reference.
Okay.
I'm not just crazy.
I knew there was a reference there somewhere. I just didn't know what it was. So, like, they keep doing this thing where they would run toward the monsters, and then, like, a couple seconds later, you just see them run back being chased by the monsters.
They
tried
to take them on with two baguettes of bread and an umbrella. It didn't work out so well.
And Spike had to bite into one before attacking.
Well, I would.
No, I didn't say it was a bad idea. I'm just saying he did it.
I'm hungry now. There's
some Scooby-Doo reference there. And so, like, Bulk's like, you're a samurai ranger. I'm like, why are you so surprised?
I know.
Bulk, what happened to you? No shit, Sherlock.
Satcher happened, remember?
And then a little kid walked up. Shinkenja! That's right, little kid at Toys R Us. I love you.
I remember that story. And so the girls are fighting, they're like, I hope the guys show up soon, which is going to go on Rofang's list of sexist comments in Power Ranger Samurai.
Everyone knows girls are second in society, god.
And so they appear in the Samurai Battle Wing and take out all the giant Moogers. So.
Second, dogs and cats.
Oh, third, you're right, I'm sorry.
Fourth, if you put them behind black people. They're just above gays and Mexicans. God, Dawson, you racist.
You done?
Always done.
Always. And so all of a sudden, like, you hear a voice go like, Red Ranger, Red Ranger, Red Ranger. And then all the Moogers start going toward Jaden. Because
they're like, be our zombie leader.
So they recognize Jaden as their zombie leader and gravitate toward him. And so they're like, oh, we got to protect Jaden. So they, like, huddle around him and, like, no one gets inside. And
no one gets inside. No one gets inside.
Someone wants to get inside Jaden? Ew.
It's all dead and waxy, I mean.
He's got a formaldehyde smell.
Oh, God.
And so, like, he wants to do
necrophilia,
the,
folks.
The, like, the lightning and the fire slashy thing.
So he summons Elemental Hero Sparkman. So,
he just, like, totally yanks
and the flame swords, man.
Emily's sword from her. And then so she starts flipping out because she doesn't have a sword.
That was funny. He's like, give me that. Females are second, bitch. Go make me some dinner.
That probably made fight. The sexist list, too.
Yep. Meet me a sandwich.
And so all the Moogers go away. And then they de-untransform. And they're all of a sudden in a completely different location. Like, not even remotely close to where they were.
As usual.
And so it's like, who is it? That wasn't a Nylock. And they're like, no, I think it was Master Xandrin. And then Mike's like, well, why would it be all Red Ranger, Red Ranger? And I thought that was great because Hector's awesome.
That was pretty hilarious.
And
the best non-Balkan Spike moment of Samurai so far.
Indeed. So Xandrin's passed out on the floor and Octaru's like, his medicine's not working. And I'm like, well, first of all, shut up. And then I'm like, well, he's drunk, you asshole. He's not passed out at all. He's just drunk off his ass.
So they're teaching kids to take medicine until they pass out.
Basically.
Good job, Saban.
Take lots of Robitussin.
And we get those like little furry things from Shinkenger. I don't even remember what they were in Shinkenger.
They just had a furry fetish.
But he calls them furry warts, so. Which is actually kind of what they look like looking at.
They're Lubert?
Yes. They're what?
You would understand this if you watched quality television.
I watch quality television.
So, Spike's wrapping up Bulk's head because he's like, he got injured even though apparently all he got was a bug bite.
I watch quality television and Samurai.
So Spike goes off on some tangent about how hot the Pink Ranger is, and then when we cut back to Bulk and Spike, like, he turned Bulk into the Michelin Man. And he's stuck to the chair, and he's all like, and he runs into walls and shit.
I thought it was the Stay Puft Marshmallow guy from the first Ghostbusters.
That's a possibility, too.
I thought it was Emotep from The Mummy.
Okay, so he's all of those things.
And then Brendan Fraser rushes in and just shoots him. Emotep's back.
That man's married to a horse.
Horse!
So, they're all...
He used a symbol power and married a horse.
Yeah, he can just generate him.
It's a woman fucking
so they're all trying to figure out why they're attacking Jaden, and then G sits down. He's all serious face because he doesn't really have any other emotions besides that.
Really? Because he was just grum, and everyone knows he's so crazy when they just murder everyone.
Eventually he's going to become an alien. And so then we flash back to the same flashback that was in Shinkenger of the original team of samurai fighting against like the Moogers and the...
Who's all Asians? They're all Asians.
They conveniently, they're all Asians, but we don't see their face like ever. We don't even see Blue get killed because he got shot by arrows, and I guess they thought that was too violent.
It's too violent.
So Blue technically didn't get killed, and so Jane's dad, according to
wait a tick. Didn't they show a clip of Kevin's dad who can't hide his accent to save his life, giving him his stuff?
Yeah,
supposedly dead.
No, they never showed him dying, so he's alive.
Well, I guess he's just fine.
But they showed the same clip in Shinkenger, and wasn't that Ryu Nosuke's dad in the first episode?
Yeah, but flashback right there wasn't their parents, I don't think.
No, it was, because it was...
Was it?
Like, yeah, because
Takaru's
it was...
Dad.
I don't think they ever died.
I mean, Takaru's fake dad.
Like,
yeah, it was Takaru's fake dad.
That one right there was Mako's mom, because she got injured.
That's yeah.
She was in the wheelchair.
And she was I can't do... What is it? Jaguar can anymore? Not Jaguar can. Leopard can anymore because I'm in a wheelchair.
Okay. Well, so there's plot holes in both shows. You can get shot with an arrow and survive to mess up your accent another day.
So apparently they're not dead. They might be dead. I don't really know. It doesn't really say. So they're going through that, and like they're like the Red Ranger Shiba family, and I'm like, oh fuck.
Fuck.
Has a ceiling character that can seal them, but the...
They were listening to our Karu 2 days ago, those fucking bastards.
Jane's dad wasn't strong enough to do the seal character successfully, so he was only temporarily sealed, and now the seal's broken, and now he's loose and stuff.
He's loose.
He's all loose. He's like got to carry boss figure.
He's like wheelchair's girlfriend.
Zing. So I'll get to the Shiba thing later, and so we got the Nylock of the day, and he's all, I'm Scottish! He's epic, so...
Then Flynn shows up, no, I'm Scottish! And then he just knocks him off the mountain, and then it ends.
We're just back outside, and they're all training, and Emily's like, he can do it! It's his destiny! And then Kevin's like, you're right. We have to protect Jaden, our number one mission. We've been training to protect Jaden. I'm like, since when? You've been trained to fight the Nylocks, you asshole.
But this was never established.
He forgot. Oh, nothing was established.
You're right.
And so they're like, dude, Jaden, we got your back. We'll protect you, like, forever. And he's like, no, you protect yourselves, you goddamn cunts. We got this shit covered. Like, I can
Children
do it.
Listening to this, you fucker, stop using that kind of language.
Yeah, cunt nugget. God.
And so, like, Jane's, like, super pissed face, except it's not really too much different than his normal face.
Don't forget Kevin's epic acting.
And we have, yeah, Najee's awesome acting. And then, so the gap sensor goes off, and they're like, run away!
Makes it sound like it's a sensor for Gap clothing. Like, oh, fuck yes, it's a sale at the Gap, go!
And so we go to the random quarry, and the Scottish guy's like, which one to use the Red Ranger? And I'm like, the one wearing red, jackass! You only have one option here.
Their clothes have been color-coded for like 18 years. Come on.
He got confused by Cole lurking in the background.
Probably. He didn't know what color red was. He really didn't.
I think Nylock are colorblind.
And so, like, they all transform and they fight and they get pwned. Like, this guy uses double slash, but he slashes three times. So
shut up.
Not too sure what happened in their counting, but... Then again, episode bomb. 3 was episode 1, so they clearly can't count anyway.
They can't.
And so he's about to hit Jaden, but Kevin and Emily jump in the way, and they're like, we'll protect you, and then they pass out in all very cliche way. And Jaden's like, no, I didn't want this to happen. He, like, flips around and puts his arms on them. Like...
And sticks his ass in the air. Just fuck me in the ass now. Just like, take me now.
Look, if I cover them slightly with my arms, they'll be protected forever.
BFF Facebook protection.
And so, Mike and Mia get pwned too, because that's how they roll. And so Decker's there.
Mike! Who's Mike? Never even met him, you mechanic.
Decker saves Jaden, and Decker's like, I'm not going to tell you again. Please leave. I'm like, I wish you would. And Jane's like, I fight for my friends, because he turned into Ike from Brawl, and I don't really know what's going on. And he's like, stand aside. And then Jane's like, you both need to stand aside. And like what JDF said on Ranger Board, good comeback, asshole. And so, somewhere in this fight, Decker's sword just wiggles like no other. Like, there's been some.
We always knew that
sword that wiggles.
There's some pretty bad cases of wiggly sword in PR, but this was really bad. Like, it was all over the place.
Everyone knows Cole can't get it up because he's into dogs.
That wiggles.
And so eventually the Nylock dries out and he goes away. And
he dries out.
They have a threesome, and then the Nylock dried out, so he was no fun anymore.
Decker and Jaden fight, but Jaden sucks because he's all tired face. He's like, ow, my shoulder, and Decker's like, someday you'll feel this slash, and like he dodges and cuts the boulder in half with his wiggly sword. Then he jumps up, and he's like, Red Ranger, you will satisfy my hunger. I'm like, lol. I always knew it. I knew it.
That's my butt hunger.
Oh, God.
And so, like, Mike's like...
He likes tossed salad.
You're the guy from the Nylock from the other day. And
then he says, go fuck yourself.
And then he's like, go fuck yourself. with lowercase letters and exclamation points and. Oh, Rick Medina, you little douche.
Little?
Come on to this podcast instead and defend your douchey behaviors.
So he's like, who are you? He's like, I'm Decker, nothing more, nothing less, and walks away. I'm like, oh, aren't you trying to be a badass? And he's really not. But And then they're like, oh, hey, Kevin and Emily.
Oh, yeah.
And so they pick them up and they go back to the Sheba house because they can't make up names. And then they're like, it's nighttime. They're like, have you seen Jane? They're like, no. And Jane's just walking away. He leaves.
Jane's like, fuck this show, man.
Like,
seriously.
Done.
You mean Jane's done? He's like, let's give up the charade. I mean, come on. I can't even act.
And so we get preview for nothing because they apparently like stopped doing previews.
They're putting all their effort into
so
iParty.
Like, every Sunday, new episodes, but we're not going to show you scenes from it because we suck.
But here's scenes from the pilot that you'll never see for a long time.
So,
I was in the pilot. Oh wait,
no, you weren't. It was easily the best episode of Samurai because it was a really, really strong Shinkenger episode.
Indeed.
So,
I concur.
Like, I honestly didn't.
Plus, there was Red Ranger, Red Ranger.
Red Ranger. Like, I like that.
I like that he called him Master X, too.
Yeah, like.
I just like that.
Mike just continues to be, like, the best character on this show.
He seems to be the only one adding personality to his Shinkenger mold, which is probably what the problem was with the last episode.
Yeah. I agree completely with that.
This fucker's head's so loose.
Oh, he must be opening God to Carry a Ba. Or Xandrid. No, wait. Who's loose?
Bob, why the frick is his head so goddamn loose?
Is your legs, like, really wobbly?
Yeah. Kinda. Yeah. Not know how to say really, but yeah, kinda wobbly.
Like,
and
mine can't do any sort of wide leg stance at all. It just kinda collapses.
I wanted mine in a wide leg pose, but... Alright.
So, I liked it. I'm not going to say it was, like, fantastic by any means, because we've had so many better PR episodes. But for Samurai standards, it wasn't that bad. Neji still sucks at acting.
Yeah, he really does.
Mia got a little bit more tolerable. So did Emily. I never really had too big of a problem with Jane's acting too much.
Just his face.
And then Mike continues to... I'm using character names.
Yeah.
Mike continues to be, like, the best character on this show. Like, I understand where people would hate him, because if they don't like that character type. But seriously, he's the best, like, actor on the show. And, like,
he honestly is.
Besides,
I mean,
besides
from
Felix and Paul Schreier.
Yeah. Paul Schreier is the man. Did epic Facebook picture with me. We're BFF Facebook. Seriously.
But, like, I mean, as much as I, like, in general hate on Samurai, like, it really wasn't too bad of an episode.
That's pretty much my stance. Like, I actually enjoyed it, and I thought it was actually, like, fairly epic for Samurai. The only, like, problems I basically had was when they weren't morphed. Like, my biggest problem is really with Kevin, because, or what is his name, Negis?
Neji.
He's just, like, he is horrible. Like, he is literally, like, horrible. I can't even stand him, like, anymore. Like, everyone else I can tolerate to a point. But, like, that part where Kevin said, I have to protect him no matter what! Like, seriously, I'm like, are you being serious with that acting? You have to be joking. Like, no, you can't even be serious. Lubert the doorman on iCarly outclasses you. This is ridiculous. But, like, he's the only one I really had problems with. But other than that, like, other than it being pretty much 100% the same episode, like, it was a good episode of Samurai, and, like, that's how you sort of know Samurai will get better, just on the fact that Shinkenger did.
Yeah.
And if they're copying a good show, what was I going to say? Okay, that thing about the Sheba thing does piss me off, though.
Okay, here's the thing, like, they're keeping, I understand wanting to, like, translate it verbatim. I don't understand it, but
yeah,
I get that that's what they're doing. But to the point where you copy things like the Sanzu River, when that's a mythical Japanese reference, when we have, like...
But you won't use the word origami.
Yeah, like, they'll use the Sanzu River, which is, like, the Japanese version of the River Styx, but we can't use the word origami, we have to use folding zords. Just use origami zords.
Like, yeah, that really bugs the shit out of me.
Jaden Sheba, like, I mean, we don't really have confirmation that that's his actual last name,
It isn't, because he's actually just a fake hobo they found on the street to pose. Spoiler alert. Okay, well, like... Sorry, go ahead.
Like, I mean, if they keep the bloodline straight through, like, his last name might not be Shiva, because it could have gotten...
Until he gets adopted by a 15-year-old girl.
...intertwined with random things. But, like, just James Shiva as a whole just doesn't flow for me because he's so white.
White, yeah.
Like, I understand, like, some
he's adopted by iCarly.
Fuck yes. Not... Jaden Shea.
Might not match up with...
Oh, he should be adopted by Sam. Jaden Puckett. Sorry, I couldn't... or Jaden Gibson.
Then you can call him Jiggy.
Oh, epic.
Sorry, I had to be said. But like, I just don't understand why you go as far as to keep the family name.
Like, I like the way that one poster on Ranger Gord said is that it's just laughable that they can't lift one figure to be original. Like, you can, like, bitch at me all you want about, like, me complaining about Samurai not being original, but it's stuff like that that really bugs me, that it doesn't do anything for the overall plot just to change his name to, like, Johnson or something. Like, it really just doesn't do anything.
Johnson,
like,
he's not black. Like, Jesus.
You could argue that, like, with the Japanese last name, it sounds more like
samurai?
Lineage, I guess?
Yeah.
Well, and samurai, the fact
But they can't do that unless, like, their relatives were total sluts and just had, like, a bunch of offspring of races.
Like, that's the whole problem. Like, this is apparently passed down from parent to child.
Yeah.
And they were samurai, so... Logically, they would all be Japanese unless their father was Tom Cruise.
Oh, I knew it!
But he's gay!
And his religion is loosely based off the television show Elf. Totally stole that from Tosh, but...
I love that joke.
I just don't get, like, how it logically makes sense that, like, a line of samurai includes, like... A white guy, a black guy, one Asian, a white girl, and...
Whatever Mike is.
Whatever Mike is. I think he's some sort of Hispanic. I don't really know.
I think he's a terrorist. He's a terrorist. Okay. What was I going to say? I totally lost it. Oh, okay. I've said this before in our private conversations when we get in-depth into each other. Sounding gay.
God.
We're like, a better explanation would be that it's like... Every time a samurai takes on a student and passes on the powers of their student instead of their parent, like he's like, once the samurai gets old enough, they take on a student, teach him, and then they're the next samurai ranger, and so on. Because it makes so much more sense for America, and that really doesn't fuck with the Shinkenger footage at all.
Not at all.
Like, it almost seems like there's some kind of dictator, Zatcher, forcing them to do this, and they can't do anything about it. Like,
douchebag.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, even if they're going to copy it, just change little things. Like, it's little things like that that really piss me off. Like, I'm not going to be pissed off. Like, oh, they kept the plot of Xandrid trying to flood and everything. God, but it's things like keeping the same name.
It's little things like that, Zatcher's penis. And
I did enjoy Bulk and Spike actually... Oh, I got their names right. Sorry. Interacting with, like, the Ranger suit actors, even though they're probably still on, like, Crew B, still catching up.
Yeah, like, that last time where we thought they interacted with each other, apparently there's been talks...
Yeah, apparently either A, it was, like, superimposed on each other in stunt doubles, or B, it was shot later.
Yeah, because the way it's looking, like, they weren't... There might have been in New Zealand, but they weren't filming together.
Yeah.
From the way that the show was presenting it, actually.
I always got that vibe just because I'm like, I felt like Bulk was a late casting, like a late surprise, because They're like, you know what, we can't find a fake Bulk. We found a great fake skull, but we can't find fake Bulk. We just got to bring the original back.
Why couldn't they just do that with this? We couldn't find a fake Takaru. Let's just bring back Takaru.
Let's just bring Kendo in. He can speak English.
I know.
The one last thing I want to say about this is with
Jaden.
He can be
all stronger.
Like, his acting is, it's not the best, but it's not as terrible as, like, Negus's or whatever his name is. But I think my main problem is that I loved Takaru so much. And I like the way that
his arms folded.
Well, yeah, because he did a better job of betraying that kind of, like, cold type, you know, samurai lord,
like,
fake
well,
lord.
Well, the thing was that they weren't doing that at the beginning.
Well, yeah, but just Jaden just doesn't do it for him.
Now all of a sudden, like, he kind of is.
Well, but didn't Jaden, we talked about this before, is Jaden seemed more chummy with everyone than...
Yeah, well, Jaden was, like, friends with everyone. Like, he went into the fucking amusement park with him at the end of that one episode.
But Takaru wasn't like that.
Now, all of a sudden, because the Shinkenger plot called for it, now he turns into a protect yourselves, don't worry about me, cold person, when he wasn't like that at all before.
Yeah.
It was the same thing that happened with Mike in the last episode. Like, he's not that wild. He's just a goofball.
I know. Like, you're out of control. Stop making jokes. For it,
that they plug his character as something that isn't his character.
Yeah, really. Like, it just, they really need to think about stuff before they do it.
That would require effort.
You're right.
But, I mean, it was definitely a good episode for Samurai Standards, and I did enjoy it, and I look forward to the next part to see how they handle things, but
yeah,
like, it's just those certain little things that get me.
Yeah, that really kind of pissed me off. But my main point with Jaden is just that I guess I like Takaru so much that I have a hard time with him because he just doesn't fit that for me.
Yeah,
but yeah, definitely things like that piss me off when they can't even change tiny little details. Even G, why do they have to name him G? They don't even call him G.
They call him Mentor.
I totally want like to be like, yo, what's up, G?
Mentor, Jaden's been hurt, Mentor.
What are you talking about? Just call him Grum, seriously. Get this over with. Oh, gee, Grum, get it? Oh, he's just looking for Broodwig the whole time. That's what he does without fighting. He can't find Broodwig or Mora. Oh, gosh. So, are we all done? So now it's time for Retrospective Ranger Rambles, which I successfully named last week because I am the namer. And so this week we're looking at MMPR Season 3.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah. Two comes after
two comes three. Three. Matt thought 3 was before 1, but man. I'm sorry, Matt. I love you. BFF Facebook, Matt.
So the only time we can find him is on Facebook.
All right, so just like last time, we're going to go over, like, episodes and
plot.
And then we'll go into characters.
I'm sorry.
Villains, and then robots.
And then music.
And we're adding music because we haven't been talking about music.
Yeah.
And the music starts to get good with Season 2 and Season 3.
So. Fuck yes. White power, white... Oh, wait, that's White Ranger Tiger Power. Shut up with racist jokes. Seriously. Okay.
What?
I know, because Kevin was getting ready to say, stop being racist, Dawson.
No. I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening to you. I don't care about you. You're a loser.
Well, that was just lovely.
Okay, so MMPR Season 3, also called as the show's slightly formed a plot, slightly.
Slightly. We use that term loosely.
I use the term plot loosely. So, the season starts out with the three-parter A Friend in Need, featuring everyone's favorite Edenoian.
Ectophase activate.
Dex.
I am Amazon.
I am Amazon.
I am X.
Strong man. Like, no, you.
And I'm so, Commander, like, Taggart.
This episode reminds me of, like, the 40th anniversary Kamen Rider episode in a sense that, like, it's just there.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really make any sense where it is or where it isn't.
Like, wasn't it supposed to be the Season 2 finale?
They were talking about how it's the... was supposed to be, like, the Season 2 finale.
I think it would have just been better as a standalone special.
Yeah, basically. That's technically what it is in the first place.
Yeah. They didn't even tie it into PR. They're like, oh, let's tie this into PR, and then, like, LOL, no.
Yeah.
Just,
okay. Like, the thing they're doing here, like, it was actually not too bad. Like,
yeah.
The way Dex acted was a little bit more on par with, like, a rider.
Yeah.
And even down to his, like, his motions were, like, Black RX. And then once they started developing the show, like, Standards and Practices got to it, and... turned it into the Masked Rider that we know and hate.
Like, personally, just the way Saban, everything was all involved in each other, I liked the idea of, like, involving Alpha and Eltar and all that stuff or whatever it involved.
Right.
But whatever.
Yeah, so. I liked, actually, I remember watching it, and I liked Dex and the whole Masked Rider thing. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. And
to the Max.
Then the show came along.
I really liked it, too. Like, at least in this three-part. I mean, I liked Masked Rider as a kid because I was a delusional little child.
Yeah, I was like, Kamen Rider Black RX, but I didn't know. I was like, someday, I'm going to have like over 90 of figures of this guy. But I don't even know it right now. I'm just sitting here chewing on a lollipop.
Like, I think if Masked Rider continued on like in a Friend in Need style of character, it would have been a lot better than it was.
Yeah, they probably gotten names right. It would have been like, I'm Amazon. Like, no, you're not. Amazon.
Can't wait to see the SA version.
We'll
double.
Get to that
I am Ryuki.
At some point, if we ever talk about Masked Rider, I don't think we will, but...
Yeah, I don't feel like
that, that would require us to watch it, and that's just a mess right there.
I don't want to kill myself. Yet.
So, the season technically begins with a five-parter Ninja Quest. In the
Wikipedia
first...
says four.
I can't count. No, ignore me. It's a four-parter.
He works for Saban now. He got a job there. Sorry.
I work for Nickelodeon. I don't know how to count. the four-parter Ninja Quest, rather. Part one...
Bitch.
The poor old Thunder Megazord and Tigerzord get destroyed by...
No! White Tiger!
By good old Rito Revolto.
The pieces just kind of flop off, like, blah!
Like, the sword! So
Kimberly's like, no! And they're like, no, Kimberly, it's
and
okay.
Kimberly is wearing clothes that would not pass in today's children's program.
I know, right? It's wonderful.
What was she wearing?
That's why Brian's
dad
was. She
wearing
her.
A very, very tiny shirt. Like, it basically, like, stopped right below her boobs and then... That was it.
And then, like, short shorts. And
yeah.
She wears short skirts. Oh,
short skirts?
Shut up.
Nerd boners aside.
All right, I'll put mine away.
So, and then they have to go to the... Is it the Desert of Despair? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they fight the Tango Bye-Byes.
This looks oddly like Southern California.
Yeah, I know, right? Makes sense to me.
I love how in England it looks no way like Southern California.
And so they get ninja zords and ninja powers and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And then we get to pretty much just filler episodes. Just typical MMPR-ness.
Mm-hmm.
I believe until we get to Arranger Catastrophe where we're introduced to Cat...
Did we get introduced to her before the Shogun Megazords?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew it was around the same time, I just couldn't remember.
Yeah, Changing of the Zords happened right after.
Yeah.
So we had the two-part with introducing Cat, and then we had Changing of the Zords, which is where we got the Shogun Megazord, I believe. Yeah.
Basically, we lost Ninjor and the Falcon Zord and got the Shogun Megazord because Kaku Rangers got the mecha in the reverse order that the Power Rangers did.
Yeah.
And Ninja Man came later. Pretty much what happened. They're like, oh shit, we did this backwards.
They got drunk one night.
We'll talk about that when we're done with plot, because I guess I don't really know where else to put it. So they lose those things, and they lose Ninjor because they did things backwards, and now they have the Shogun Megazord and all that fun stuff. I really like the Shogun Megazord, but we'll get to that when we talk about robots.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep sidelining all this stuff.
We get random filler episode, and then the Power Transfer Part 2.
Pretty much.
Which was a three-parter for some ungodly reason. Why was it a three-parter?
Because they wanted to give her a proper send-off.
Kim got kidnapped, or Kat got kidnapped, and one of them got kidnapped on the moon, and then Kim like needed to give up her powers because she was sick or something, or they stole the coin. And so Kimberly got sick?
Yeah.
And then she wanted to be a gymnast, and then so she left to go cheat on Tommy. But that's another story.
Because for some reason, these coins are tied into their bodies, so if they lose them, they die.
They're their core metals, actually.
Oh, it's funny.
Oh, Kimberly, the dinosaur greed. I knew it.
She's the head of Putotira.
Kevin just said, I don't know what it was. It scared me, though.
So, this says Catherine finds a pink power coin, which became lost in the midst of changing of the Zords. So she finds it, and all that fun stuff happens.
Got lost because they're like, oh, fuck, we have six Rangers and five Zords. And they're like, oh, they'll share.
And so Kim leaves to go to a peace conference. I mean, the Pan Global Games.
Pan Global.
And Cat becomes a new Pink Ranger, and then we get filler episodes again. Sinister Simeon. These monsters are so good.
Fuck yes, I'm beating off
right
now.
Master Vile and Metallic Armor. Because that's how they roll. They needed a power up because they needed to sell new toys. So they were like, well, let's sell sparkly versions.
Let's make them glittery.
Except they weren't even glittery. They were just, like, metallic.
Yeah. Sparkly.
Bold metallic.
I know, right? At least the suits on the show were all sparkly. But no, the toys were just, like, flat metallic.
Yeah, they were shiny. Really dumb.
The movie toys are better. They came with power coins, at least.
Movie toes.
Sorry. Sure. We throw in I'm Dreaming of a White Ranger somewhere in here.
It was a fun Christmas show.
Rangers in Reverse kicks off the Alien Ranger saga that I can't find.
In which they just finally gave up the charade and said, you know what? Fuck this. I'm using the Sentai suits.
What are you looking for?
The episode listing for Alien Rangers.
Oh, it's, are you on Wikipedia?
I got it.
It's oh, because I got it and I was about to put it in the chat.
They count it as a separate season because they're gay like that.
I got this. So... The Rangers turn into little kids. So they get turned into little kids for like the fifth time or something. They get turned into kids all the time. I don't know why.
Yeah, they like really like those kid actors. I don't know.
Yeah, like they brought everyone back except for like the new people.
Mm-hmm. They did a really good job, I thought.
I thought they did too. Like
Adam in particular, it seriously looked like a mini Adam. I think they actually used de-aging technology on Johnny and Bosch.
Like, I could... All these kids could pass as younger versions of the characters, so...
Yeah, and they made sure to find someone with an Australian accent for the...
Yeah, for Kat. That's always a fun time. So, the Alien Rangers from Aquatar, which were the Kaku Rangers... I guess we'll talk about when we're done wrapping this up about how they could have done things. So it's a really short, 10 episode miniseries.
Yeah, it seemed longer when I was a kid, but
I know
it did.
It seemed like Master Vile was around for a lot longer than that.
So the kids are basically doing their little quest to get the pieces of the Zeo Crystal.
It says here two of these episodes were directed by Paul Schreier.
Oh, yeah, yes. I forgot he started doing directing in season 3, I think.
That's pretty cool.
Naturally, he directs Attack of the 60s Bulk. Or the 60-foot Bulk, or whatever it is.
60s Bulk?
60s, I added an S onto it, I'm sorry. So, they're all getting the Zeo Crystal, and the Alien Rangers are defending the city, but they need their water, because they're from...
Aquatar.
Aquatar. They're from Aquafina.
I don't know why they... added the needing water thing. I just to do something, I guess.
Because they started drying up because they're all secretly Nylock.
Well, because it would stretch the episode out to have to find them water. And
that's
give them a
that's
plot
true.
Device.
That's certainly true. So, there really isn't too much else to go over in Alien Rangers besides the characters, and we'll get to that in the
and the Megazord.
Well, they went through on that quest in the different time periods.
Yeah, like, Zeo quests, like the Zeo bits of the Alien Ranger saga was really fun. Like,
yeah, I liked the Alien Ranger saga, actually. A lot of people hate it, but I kind of liked it.
Why would you hate it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they're faggots, that's why.
Like, it was actually like one of the first parts of PR that had a really consistent story for longer than a couple episodes.
It had a consistent story, and also, in some sense, you find out about... You actually got character development to some extent.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, for the Rangers.
Character
and
development
stuff.
For the Rangers. We get a little bit of character for the Aquatar Rangers. So, fun stuff all around for plot.
Command center.
And then the Hydro Hog.
Fuck yes.
Like, I'm kind of glad they went the route they did with making the Kaku Rangers the Alien Rangers. Because even if they would have went with the dye suits for season 2, like, they're just kind of, like, different.
Yeah.
Well, because one...
They're more alien.
We go from 6 to 5.
You'd have to fire someone.
We'd have to fire someone, which happened until later. a chick would become leader, and...
Tommy would have to come out and say that he was a transvestite.
Well, but there probably would have been a way to work around the whole chick leader thing.
Oh, yeah, they could have just made Red leader.
Yeah.
Well, no, but, like, to work with the footage to where you could... Because I don't even think... Because the way it worked was that White was the leader, but, like, Red was, like, a battle leader or something?
Yeah, Red led them in battle because he was intelligent.
Because he's red.
Red looks good in the middle.
That too.
So, like, I think even if they would have went with the dye suits, like, and plus, like, the Kaku Rangers just seemed smaller.
That's what, when I was, like,
I don't know why. Little, it was probably because of the toys.
I always thought that because of, like, Beetleborgs, that the kid Rangers could have been the Cocker Rangers because they were so little.
I never thought about that.
Because I was like, why don't they just make the kids transform like they do Beetleborgs? Because that was their whole thing with Turbo, is they're competing against their own fucking show. Like, Beetleborgs is doing better, man. We got to bring in a kid. Like, dude, it's the same company. Like, but, yeah, like, I always thought that they could have been the Rangers because they were so tiny.
Like, I mean, were the Cocker Rangers actually tiny? Like,
I don't
they're
think
Asian.
So.
Are we just delusional because the toys were such out of scale compared to the other Rangers?
They seemed smaller to me always, like, even in suit.
I mean, well,
they did to me too. I just
the white, the Ninja White was like 13 or something, or 15, or she was 13 when she filmed it, so I don't, something like that. I don't know.
If we have a preteen being leader, fuck that shit.
I know she was really young, but in any case, the I don't know. Like you said, the toys are very. Because I have the only one I had was the blue. I had the blue, the blue Alien Ranger and his Battleborg, and. It's so, I don't know, the figure looks so funny compared to everything else. It's just so tiny.
I know.
Or are they like the same, they released those same figures pretty much over in Japan, and we were just using those like bulky like football player flippable molds.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about our childhood of toy collecting, which got us to the state we're in today.
Shut up.
Well,
and then, wait, we're going to end plot with the whole
command center blowing up?
Yeah,
it goes boom.
Oh, yeah, it blew up. I forgot about that. Yeah, it was like,
goes boom.
Like,
so when did that happen? In Hog Day Afternoon Part 2?
The end of the Hog Day Afternoon.
The alien majors were like, bye-bye! And they're like, we got the Zeo Crystal. They're like, oh, fuck, this place is about to blow. And Tommy's like, I left my homework in there. No! And then it explodes.
This was like Tanya's first time there.
She's like, oh, man, I love this place.
She went from being a little kid to being, like, older. And then all of a sudden she's in a weird place with all these lights. And considering she came from, like, the wilderness in Africa, like, one, being magically older, and then two, lights everywhere and a guy in a floating tube, I'm surprised she didn't kill herself. And then all of a sudden there's a Zeo Crystal and big monkeys and skeletons and planting bombs and explosions. Like, I honestly feel really bad for Tanya. Like, why the fuck did I leave Africa?
It was so much safer with the AIDS and everyone having sex with monkeys and the war and the machetes. Elda Snow singing African Child.
But, I mean, I'll say this. It had the best ending to a season so far.
It really did. It was actually a season ending.
Like, it was actually an ending as opposed to a random episode that happened to coincide with the end of the season.
I remember freaking out. I was like, it blew up! Ah!
It was kind of even like more like season 2 in the fact that it wasn't like a whole lot of like epic plot going on, but it was a whole lot of explanations of what was going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And so, like, we got Kim leaving, which was, like, she actually got a proper send-off, which is nice, and Kat kind of got a nice introduction. And
why did Kim leave? Did she just done with it?
Yeah, but I think so. That's what I remember, as far as I know.
That's what I thought so, too. I didn't think she left under any sort of
disagreement. Yeah, that's probably why she got a good send-off. Yeah. Which is something funny, like, I'll bring up Aisha, is that she basically said the same thing that Kim did to the creators, that she wanted to leave and was under nice terms, and because this is when their little kids were playing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, all right, we're going to bring you back.
Hold on, stop talking. Is he sounding all jacked up to you?
No.
Okay, because whatever, I don't know, I'm just hearing him funny then, because he sounds all weird to me.
I just sound funny in general. But anyway, like, they told, what's her name in real life?
Karen Ashley?
Yeah, they told her that they were going to bring her back and give her 2 to 3 episodes to send her character off like Kim, and then next thing she knows, she's fired, and they brought in Tanya. And they didn't even bring her back for, like, goodbye and stuff. So they, like, lied to her, basically. And here's my thing. Kids are dumb. Why didn't they just bring Tanya back as Ashley? We hadn't seen her in, like, 10 episodes.
I mean, as Aisha?
Yeah, that's what I meant. As Ashley. Let's just bring in Ashley now. Skip, like, 3
she
paragraphs.
Looks different.
What? Yeah, but the shows recast people all the time with, like, no
look
explanation.
At Beetleborgs.
I know. Just be like, all right, now.
They had an explanation. See, there was a spell, and she looked
everyone
different
sees
everyone
you as you
us.
Used to, and but the audience sees you. But, like, they all look the same. That's horrible.
Wow, you racist bastard.
Well, no, I couldn't resist the joke. Well, but I'm just saying, like, it would have made sense to me. I wouldn't have been that bothered by it, because unless it's like a soap opera, which in cases they actually do recast people with no explanation, but they didn't need to do, like, plastic surgery or something. Like, it would have been no big deal to me instead of, like, this out-of-left-field, like, she's going to stay in Africa, and we're going to get some African chick we've never met to be the Yellow Ranger. Like, what? It just bothered me. Like, I had no problems with Tanya later, but the whole explanation bothered me.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Like, the whole thing threw me off because I didn't know how it was physically possible.
Because they were, like, in the past.
You
I don't
left
know, Earth
Aisha
was in,
the past and brought Tanya forward. What happened to Aisha's parents?
Yeah, they were just
what happened to Tanya's parents? Apparently they got lost somewhere.
They were both retconned into Starmons.
What? I just, like, that whole thing bothered me in that aspect more than it did that there was, like, random new character. Like, it just didn't make sense to my little child. It still doesn't make sense to me.
It really doesn't.
Like, if you think about it, a lot of the MMPR explanation shit were just total, like,
well, Zordon,
a total mess.
Zordon kind of explained it a little bit, like, oh, well, since Aisha's staying, then when we turn time forward, her parents and her, all her crap will magically appear in Africa.
Her house just, like, plops down on top of a poor lion. And that's how Simba's dad died. But, like, it's just, it was so fucked up. Like, I was talking about this the other day. Like, they're original, but they were just totally fucked up. Like, they were writing this shit, like, day by day.
Basically.
Like, the whole story was just an entire mess. Like, oh, and how they got the powers. And how weird that is. So, a ninja created all the powers, including the dinosaur powers?
Yeah.
Why didn't they just make it so Zordon created it in the first place and, like, Ninja was my fraternity brother? And he made the other hat. I heard he made some power coins up in his house, and you're going to go get them. Like, instead of making him the creator of the original power coins, made no sense to me.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, did he just sit there in his little bottle just kind of making coins?
Yeah, like,
he had a pog maker and he just drew little symbols, cut them out, made them in the pog maker, and said, here's a new one.
I think he made the greeds, too. I don't know.
These ones are dinosaurs, and then these ones are random animals that we associate with ninja, and then these three are bugs, and these three are cats.
And it just didn't make sense. Like, that bothered me. Like, it kind of took away from the original powers for me, that they would just come up with that explanation.
Like, I mean, I just don't understand it. It bothers me that I don't understand it.
And they got the same suits again, even though they have entirely new power coins. But the way I justified it when I was little is that the power coins are just powering the morpher, which actually holds the suit.
I'll go with that.
I still laugh at the fact about the big drama over them losing their powers, and they have to, like, go find a new source, and everything's in trouble. And then people later are just making morphers, like, yeah, mass production. Like, I got this, all right, let's make it. Ranger Series Black, all right, Lightspeed,
like,
Rescue.
Like, where the hell did Andross get his?
I know, right? Zordon made it, he just didn't tell him.
He's Andross, like, and Zane.
Isn't this funny just to watch them run around in Southern California thinking it's another planet?
That's probably what happened.
Funny. He's thinking, that's not quicksand. Come on.
Ninja probably just lives in a cave in Southern California somewhere. And
Ben Kenobi.
They just went, you're going to be teleported to a dangerous planet with the Desert of Despair. Sends them to Southern California.
We went through this at season one. Zordon's a douche.
Zordon's a dick.
He really
brought
is.
Brought that up last season and the season before that. Like, it probably wasn't a Desert of Despair at all.
It really wasn't. And the Tanga showed up because they needed to use the movie suits, and
he's tired of putties, so they're like, let's just use these guys. We have them.
Because they don't have a giant target on their chest.
They were actually a feasible threat. They didn't have major weaknesses besides those swirly sticks, and they didn't have those.
Speaking of
the movie, we might talk about it at some point. There's really not much to talk about.
Yeah. Other than Ivan Ooze's original robotic suit got stolen. But, like, MMPR Season 3 is really weird. It's actually probably my favorite because it was the most epic and had the most story.
Yeah, I agree.
Like,
there,
it actually started to get stuff together. Like, there was a lot of mess going on because people were leaving or powers and footage, and, like, they had to figure it out. But there was, like, a good story in terms of build-up of Rita and Zed, like, being coached by Master Vile and actually getting stronger, like, and the Rangers were actually not winning all the time. They're like, duh, not winning. And then, like, with the alien Rangers coming in, it was cool to see Rangers from other worlds. And, like, the story with the Zeo Crystal was cool. And they had, like, they mentioned it a great deal before that. Like, there was a good foreshadowing for the Zeo Crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, they had it in an episode where, like, they stole it from Lord Zedd's place and stuff, and
yeah, they had that. I forgot what episode it was exactly. Do you know?
I have to look. Was that in season 2 or 3?
It was. Oh, it was Master of Violent Metallic Armor.
Yeah. Okay, but they had really good foreshadowing. Like, for all the mess, like, they got their shit together and it started to actually form a good plot to, like, the end of the Power Rangers.
The large build-up to Zeo, like, through the whole Zeo quest thing, and then, like, all the Alien Rangers episodes had those, like, those, that cereal at the end.
Yeah, they were like, it's coming! What's coming, me?
Like, I liked those, just because it, like, really amped up the whole feeling.
It really did.
The season that, like, that something was coming.
Although, like, I don't know, it did at the same, but it also, fuck! What happens? Like, at the same time, it kind of spoiled stuff in a way, like, that there was going to be no more powers and stuff. Like, it would have been cool to have it end and then have an actual break between it.
Yeah.
And have the previews, but it was still epic. You know, like, it was like, so exciting.
The Zeo serial, didn't that start at reruns?
Did it? Maybe you're right. You could be right.
What are you talking about?
At the very end, you know how in the episodes they always show like bloopers and stuff at the end during the credits?
Yeah.
Like the Alien Rangers saga at one point, I don't remember whether it was like the second wave of reruns or whether when it was first airing, they did like a little serial thing at the end.
Yeah, like the it's coming and stuff, and they had like the fake news reports.
Yeah.
I remember a thing that started before the episodes. And we're like, they slowly, like, reveal the logo.
Well, yeah, there was that, too.
That's what I remember. I don't remember the rest of that stuff, but I remember that part where, like, every so often it would be, like well, not every so often, but, like, each time they showed an episode, like, you'd see the logo and it would carve out a little more and then, like, another symbol or whatever.
Yeah, I remember that. They would show, like, a different symbol every time, and they're like, you gotta see it! It's coming! I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I remember
that.
It's coming.
I wanna go see it! I'm Nora Dershlet. But it was pretty epic, and like the fakes. Although it was, when you think about it later, they're like, "Oh, where are the Power Rangers? Were being attacked. They were missing for like 45 minutes tops."
That's what I'm doing. No. That's what I'm doing if we end up game out together again. It's coming. It's coming.
Oh God. Didn't when they were Alien Rangers? Wasn't Earth like in the past?
It was just the Rangers that.
No. The whole thing is Bulk and Skull were kids too.
Yeah, because they didn't know. Because that makes sense though. Because like the Rangers are missing. Because like they come back to the future and shit's all fucked up.
The whole planet was like just turned back like however many years.
That makes sense now. Everything's okay now. I'm smiley face.
Yeah.
It was weird. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense ever, but it was still cool.
So, characters are pretty much the same characters, so...
See last episode, plus Cap.
Basically, like, there really wasn't too much character change to talk about. I mean, there was character growth, but there really wasn't any particular character change to talk about. As far as Cat, like...
She's Australian.
There's always the Kim versus Cat debate about which one was better. I honestly don't have... a preference?
I prefer Kat because she's not a hoe.
Like
I happen to like Kat.
I preferred Kat myself, one because Australian accents are fucking awesome.
I know, right?
And two,
you stole
like,
my reason.
Two, again, it was just like she started entering on season 3 and then she lasted through Zeo and the beginning of Turbo. There was just a lot more character growth in that time frame. Than there was for Kim through season 1, 2, and what of 3
plus,
she was in.
Plus, you know, I lost it for Kim when she just bitched about that float for a while. It just...
like, Tat was sort of more qualified, too. I don't know. And like, she had better character
flowers, and it just...
Like,
it
I mean,
just
I could just be not remembering certain things, but, like, all I remember Kim really doing is acting as Tommy's love interest, yelling all the time.
That was Kat!
Tommy!
Fair enough.
Tommy!
Kat was basically just Australian Kim.
Well, the thing that I guess it kind of bleeds in with the actors is that Kim was kind of bitchy and like embarrassed about PR, and that's why I kind of like her. Kind of like how it's one of the reasons I liked the like power transfer last year, because the other Rangers are like, we want more money. Like, no. Yeah. You don't get more money. You don't act well enough for more money.
Well, since I wasn't here last week.
Oh. Well, that's unfortunate.
I would like to be able to pass my opinion upon these three.
Okay, so go ahead and say your piece about the three since you weren't here.
My piece about the three is, at first when they first came on, I was like, because I was a little kid, so I got kind of, you know, pissy. I'm like, I like them. They're not the other guys.
Sorry, kid.
I know, right? But I don't know. I still never really liked Aisha all that much. I don't know why. I just was never.
She was probably one of the least favorite of my characters.
I just never kind of really. Maybe because she was just there for so short of a time. You know, because it was like half of two and then like that portion of three. So it was like, well, she really didn't do a whole lot. But like Rocky and Adam, I kind of like started liking more towards the end of season two and then into season three. And of course, Adam, I just like loved after that once it got to Zio and stuff. But yeah, they were pretty cool. They got to do more after they got introduced. And season three, they got to like actually be developed and not just be that guy who replaced Jason and Zach.
Right.
Especially when you get to like the whole the Zio quest when they were little kids and they went back to Rocky got sent to Mexico or probably Southern California still. and Adam went back to Korea, which
also
was just cool.
Southern California.
So somewhere in Southern California. So that was just neat. I enjoyed that whole thing. So yeah, they were cool. I like them. Still kind of missed Jason and Zach a little just because I still want to see if Jason can make his hair move.
They couldn't. That's why they fired him. They're like, this is ridiculous. This is so unrealistic.
Why doesn't your hair move?
You know.
Insane. Like.
And then, you know, and after Zach finally decided to grow his hair out from being like, you know, a block.
He's one of the Zangak.
Yeah. And then he was gone. I'm like, no, he could have had actual hair. It'd been
he's
cool.
A Zach Yak. Oh.
If he'd have kept going into season 3, he could have had dreads. It'd have been epic.
It could have been like Jamaican, like, yeah, man, it's muffin time.
I know. It could have been a frog. It would have been really weird. But Adam was a good frog.
I gotta be the frog because I'm black? What's up with that?
Because I can jump high because I'm black? No. Adam was a good frog.
I get a minivan with tinted windows because I'm black. I get a bull. I get a square.
I get a square.
Oh god, it's just got derailed.
Wait, I'm not gonna say anything about Tanya. I'll leave that up for Zio because like she wasn't in it at all to justify. But like,
she's like, hey, look, I'm African.
I'm pro cat. I like cats.
Oh, wait, did okay? Apparently, about Tanya, did she actually age? Like, was it like what did they do? Because I never realized she aged at all when I watched it. I thought it was like she just didn't change, which was really confusing to me.
No, she was a kid in
she was a kid.
Africa.
Was it? I just guess I must not have been able to tell. I wasn't paying attention.
Damn.
Yeah, she was a kid in Africa because she was Aisha's little.
African
I was
friend.
Focused. Look, I was focusing.
Clone.
I was focusing more on the lion in the episode. I really wasn't watching them. I told you, I really didn't like Aisha, so I didn't care what was happening.
Billy got better. He got all muscular and shit.
Billy got better, then ended up fucking himself.
Pretty much.
That's why he got
and other guys apparently. And Billy wasn't gay. He was just an ass. That's why we fired him. He was just sitting around eating fly sandwiches that Jason David Frank fed him.
Well, maybe he was gay, but that's not why we got rid of him.
But like his character got better. He got more development. He like got to stick around with the Alien Rangers and shit and like assist them.
Yeah, like I like that one because like it prepped Billy
set up for next season
for Zio. Like we started to get used to him being like not a ranger and being like a tech guy. And then Zio happened, and then everything made sense.
Yeah.
And Tommy really didn't go through too much except he's like, I'm Tommy.
Tommy
yes.
didn't really change at all. He was just...
Tommy was just always epic.
His hair got a little longer.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I liked the long hair.
But yeah, a Balkan Skull. That's probably their best season.
This was the cop season.
Yeah. Oh, good. I love that thing.
This was
I know.
Probably their shining moment in my
And they
opinion.
Got their own theme song? Balkan Skull, something.
Shape it up, Balkan Skull.
Yeah, there we go.
Really? I don't remember this.
It's like,
you are a horrible
up,
person.
Shape it up. Shape it
it's
up.
It's when they were
Balkan
doing their
skull.
Training and like, Tommy
oh,
and everyone
yes,
watching
yes,
them were
yes,
like,
they're like, if you want to be a man, I forgot. I don't remember the rest of it, but
I don't pay attention to the words, but I remember it now. I still think the best part ever was right at the beginning of that when they got their head shaved.
Oh God, yes! Like
those were like live reactions.
Shire and Narvi are just so good together, and
they're
like
so
I
committed.
Said,
they did it live. That was the
exactly.
Best part.
Like I honestly think like this and Zio was still pretty good too. Are like their shining moments. Like
they really were.
They
you can't really count Turbo because they were monkeys for most of it.
Yeah.
Shut up.
When were they invisible?
Turbo, right before
after they got back from being monkeys.
Oh, okay. Because
they were like, fuck, we're human
monkeys.
Again, but we're naked.
Then
we
were
go watch Jigs Undress.
So, Turbo doesn't count at all. So, Zio, they were detectives. Here, they were police officers. Like, it was just such good character growth for them, going from, like, bullies to police officers. I mean, it was a really drastic change. It didn't really... It was kind of strange, but
didn't it come out of them wanting to be heroes?
Yeah, because they wanted to be like the Power Rangers.
It did kind of make sense because they were all like Power Rangers' biggest fans last season, and then
yeah, they got done searching for who they really were, which I always found fun, and then were like, well, let's just be like them and be cops and heroes.
Cops, so, what are you gonna do when Balkan's gonna come for you? And then he becomes a samurai. Balk's like a jack of all trades. Seriously,
he's alien hunter. And
next season, he's gonna want to become an angel, so he's gonna go to Wizard vs. Angels.
Then he's gonna want to be a pirate, so he's gonna wear an eye patch for no reason.
But yeah, this was definitely the season where like I really loved Bulk and Skull as characters.
And we were introduced to Lieutenant Stone.
Exactly, that guy's awesome.
And yeah, he was cool too. I liked him.
Like he played well off of those two.
Yeah, that's what really helped, is that, like, because he was kind of like the straight man, I guess, to their stupidness.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just, oh, God, it was just so funny. Like, he's just always yelling at them, like.
Like, they would, like, fuck up and do something stupid, and then he would yell at them.
Or, like, he'd be the one getting the result of their stupidness, like.
Yeah, like, it was kind of routine, but it was, like, a good kind of routine.
And it mixed things up from the previous seasons of just Bulk and Skull being on their own.
Yeah.
Doing their antics. What's up with their antics?
Well, there was the occasional first season with, like, the principal getting, like, crapped on, but that was only occasional.
They pooped in his donor's toupee and then put it back on.
Yeah. They dropped it in the punch bowl and then...
Well, yeah, that was pretty epic. And then fed him, like, hot peppers or something, a hot pepper sandwich.
Yeah. But yeah, it was good to have someone, like, it let them play off someone else, too, is to expand the dynamic.
Yeah.
Night dynamic.
As for the alien,
still gotta
Rangers,
buy that damn shirt.
Like, I'm not gonna really talk about them one for the sake of time, because they didn't really have too much character. They were just giant fish heads.
The only one that got really like standout development sometimes was Sestro, because he was gonna appear later.
Because he was the smart one. That's why he was always with Billy. So
Billy's like, let's be best friends. Do you want to meet together after the show and get in the closet together? He's like, whoa, man. But so, yeah, they were just
really
all kind of the same.
Say anything about it. They were basically just there because the Rangers had to become kids and not be Rangers anymore.
Yeah,
and they got to use Kaku footage. So
they used Kaku footage that excited Billy, and
because new meaning to cockfighting.
But I liked the alien Rangers though.
I mean, I liked them. They bothered me because they had giant like fish heads. But
yeah,
that never actually bothered me.
Just kind of creeped me out a little bit.
How do they fit in the helmets? They have these tiny helmets and these giant like pulsating heads.
the same way Kruger does it.
I was about to say how do they fit his giant ass beak in.
But this the alien Rangers explanation like is a good way for them to do Gokaiger later, and all the Rangers are just aliens from different planets.
Yeah.
Especially Battle Fever J. I'm saying they come from a far off planet.
The Goggle 5 come from a gay planet where they do gymnastics.
You should have done gymnastics when you were a child. My parents didn't want a gay son. Another Epic Tosh reference.
Okay, so villains. It's beautiful.
That described Zed perfect. Let's go now. Swords.
Rita and Zed didn't go through basically any change.
Yeah, they just went out around
they
with their antics.
They just continued to do their thing.
By the power and force of darkness, make our monster grow!
Thank you.
They,
They crossed their sticks and then they made stuff.
Rito
crossed the streams and
Rito was fantastic.
Oh
yeah, he was.
Like again, like Rito, and then like partnering up with Goldar made like a Bulk and Skull dynamic.
I know.
On the villain side.
It made you hard to take the villain seriously though sometimes.
Yeah, like I mean they started off pretty serious, but then they kind of graduated toward the goofy side. And like Rito was always goofy. And then it kind of like rubbed off on
him. And he always like messed up Zed's name. He's like, "All right, sorry, Ned. Sorry, little Ned." Ed? No, Ed, because that's the guy's actual name. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Ned.
Called him like, Ned,
I
Ed.
Really
anything
Rito.
That rhymed with Zed, really, he called him.
Bed.
And
but he brought in the Tangas.
Yeah,
I thought he was Red from Pineapple Express.
They got rid of those stupid Z putties and brought in actual things to fight.
I like the Tangas over the Z-Putties, just because the Z-Putties just pissed me off to no end.
I liked that they were, like, upgraded to the fact where the Rangers pretty much had to go into, like, their ninja suits in order to fight them.
Yeah.
Like, I rarely saw them doing, like, civilian fights. They were always like, oh, fuck, we gotta get our cloths on.
Speaking of, we never really talked about those, but, like, I that liked them, the and then I didn't like them at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Elaborate, please.
I liked them because they were, like, ninja outfits, and they were cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, at the same time, I'm like, what's the point?
The point is that's the version of new suits for the new powers.
Okay.
They're like, let's put the sheet over them, cut the eye holes out, and make
them... Let's put them in a burka, and then they can fight.
Ninja burka? Bonjour?
Like, I mean, I guess that's what bothered me the most was, like, they were there, they were cool, and I guess it did make them stronger and faster and stuff. And it was nice, like, a nice semi-morph when they didn't want
to... It made them strong, man. Oh, wait.
But... like, the fact that how much they had to cover their faces to use the stun actors,
yeah.
Always bothered me because they always looked so dumb. Like, I liked that when they were in the ninja outfits in the movie, where they just, like, had the headband and they were, like, the actual people. And so, like, I liked it then, as opposed to how it showed up in the show, but regardless, it was still fun, and the metallic armor was just dumb.
Yeah, it really was. That was pretty stupid.
I don't know why they bothered.
It's sparkly.
Sparkles.
They're like, oh yes, we got super gay power. Yes. We're like Tabune.
Make Billy happy.
Billy's like, oh yes, I can finally be myself. And they started beating everyone up.
And as for...
new campaign, Daniel Tosh for first male Pink Ranger.
as for Vile, like... He was pretty epic. I don't really have too much to say about him, but he was a good... Like, I don't understand how, like, Vile could give birth to Rita and Rito, but...
Well, he is... In the Japanese, he is Rito's dad, I believe.
I mean, I see that more than Rita. Like, I don't know. Rita's just, like, a person.
I know.
It was a very... She's adopted. I don't know. But Vile was cool. Rito was awesome.
That or he's her brother from another mother.
Yeah.
I guess.
They do that kind of thing.
Kinky.
Very.
And I got to miss us talking about Zed being top Jew.
We already talked about Zed's winning.
I know. Oh, I was so upset I missed it.
And robots next, I think.
Are they in disguise?
Yes. Except Iron
Eye. Except Iron Eye. Lol.
So, these are probably my favorite batch of Zords from MMPR, to be honest.
Are you being brutally honest, like
brutally
against
honest,
Dien?
Like...
To be brutally honest, I like Dien better. Wow, that was brutal. You laid an onslaught. You tore him down.
If there's any more brutal, I need a Band-Aid.
Like, I always just like the components in the Ninja Megazord, and then like the Falcon Zord being wings and stuff was
always
really
pretty cool.
And
the
Falcon Zord's always epic.
The Shogun Megazord was just so like monstrous. I don't know what I'm looking for.
Such a monstrosity.
Sure, we'll go with that. That it was really cool. Like he was all big and had the individual robots and
had a flaming sword.
I liked that. I thought it was fucking hilarious that Kim and Tommy had to share a Zord.
Oh, yeah.
Like
they wanted to make sense.
Oh, my God, when they made the toy pink and not white, I about killed something.
I don't even own that, so...
Like, I'm at the point where, I mean, I don't have one. I'm, like, just kind of patiently waiting to get a...
Muteki Shogun?
Yeah, that. Because, just, like, I don't want to deal with the whole pink arm thing. Not, like, nothing against pink, but I need accuracy here.
That's not the way it was supposed to be.
I remember... Well, first of all, I remember that... Because I had the Ninja Megazord, but I'm like, I remember taking it out of the box and going, where's the rest of the crane? Why is it this fucking tiny? I realized it's the head, but I never encountered it. Because when you get when you have the Thunder Zords and the Dinozords, they're all five of them are huge.
Right.
You pull the Ninja Megazord out of the box, and there's this little tiny thing that's a head. You're like, where's the rest of it? Wait, is this DX? I don't know.
Is this legit?
Like, the wolf is tiny, the ape's tiny, the crane's barely there. The frog is freaking ginormous.
Yeah.
And the bear's pretty big, and you just scratch your head going, where's the rest of it? There's got to be more in this box somewhere.
It's a falcon in a separate piece.
Yeah, the falcon was huge. And then I had my
Tommy was compensating.
Tommy always has to compensate for the rest
Ninja
of it.
Ninja's like, don't make me mad or I'll flip my head around and become a giant man. That was gay.
Well, one thing I absolutely have to point out while we're talking about robots is the beauty that is the Ninja Ultra Zord and the Shogun Ultra Zord.
Oh, God.
Those beautiful,
best sword
those
ever.
Beautiful toys surrounded by explosions.
I know. I couldn't tell that was a toy at all until
Not at all. Like, it was so well done that I would have never noticed the fact that they were using the Bandai of America toy.
Yeah, there wasn't
Shogun
even a pink
Megazord
arm on there
the
at
pink
all.
Pink arm.
Oh.
Would have never noticed. Like, what's stupid is I think Kid Me didn't notice.
I didn't notice as a child at all.
Kid Me was kind of dumb. Real Me's dumb too. But sorry, little me.
Kid Me saw explosions and was like, "Ee!" I was a shocker soldier. I
saw that and I was like, "Ooh!" And I had to go find my Titanus so I could make it.
Well, the Titanus I got was the season 3 version. I didn't have season 1 version. I had season 3 version. So
I had season 1 version.
I have like a Dragonzord chest for no reason.
Well, that bothered me. Like I.
Yeah, that was weird.
I didn't understand why it still had the little Dragonzord piece on there, considering Dragonzord's just kind of sitting in the ocean rusting.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. So I have a Dragonzord chest piece with my stuff. I don't know why.
You can't be controlled without the Green Ranger. Why don't you just have Ninja Warp with another coin? I mean, he's not doing anything. He's just sitting there like, I'm Ninja Warp.
Something like Dudley Do-Right.
Yeah, it's like, seriously, what's he doing? And he's still at the temple, just waiting.
I know. He got sent back to the temple and is just kind of chilling. He has no idea what happened. His memory was erased by Satcher, too.
Wasn't the explanation like he was back in time because it was before Ninja was awakened when they were little kids? Like, go wake the bitch up! Come on! How do you still have the power coins then? Shenanigans! Psh, brand it. Seriously.
I didn't understand that either. Like, they didn't have, like, the Zords or the... Or anything, because they went back in time to before they got them. But, I mean, technically, you went back in time before the coins existed. Tommy shouldn't even have power at all.
It was like the episode of Victorious, like, Zordon, why don't we have the Zords, and where's Nindor? He's like, well, you see, Tommy, there is a... Shut up!
that was pretty much an explanation for that.
But also, I like how they had to have an explanation of, like, Zed having the Zords to use the Shogun Zords once they got them. Like, seriously, like, when other teams have more than one Megazord, it's just, like, whichever one they decided to use because of the Sentai footage. Like, they don't have to have an explanation why the other one isn't there.
Yeah.
Like, they're not like, oh, God, the Drive Max Megazord was kidnapped by Moltor, so we better use the Dive Voyager. What was it called? Battle Max? Battle Fleet.
Yeah, Battle Fleet.
Well, I don't know. They had to introduce it because, like,
but they didn't have to hold on to it.
Well, yeah.
Like, it just didn't make sense after that.
But then the Shogun Zords, I don't know, because at the end of the day, they were all based on the same five animals, which the only one I noticed as a child that was based on the same animal was a blue one, because it had a wolf head.
Man, didn't notice that. Didn't notice Bulk and Skull's theme.
I at least noticed that.
You were just a shocker soldier. God, you were just a muck.
Well, I'm sorry, I couldn't tell the black one was a frog. It looked like a dude with big eyes.
It did. It looks like a Down syndrome patient. Sorry, little Down syndrome patient.
I mean, I could tell the bear one a little bit, but it's hard to tell that the white one was a crane because it doesn't have wings or anything. It did that stupid pose flapping thing. I just thought it was being stupid.
Yellow looks like the guy from American Idol with a beard.
Yes. Casey James.
Well, thanks. I don't need his hometown or anything.
So yeah, and then the alien angels come in and like, we have our battle Borgs.
We're designed after the same animals. For some reason, they're on an entirely fucking different planet. Apparently, they were given to them by Ninjor.
Yeah,
and they got their powers from Ninjor too, because he makes ninja things and somehow also makes dinosaurs.
He majored in ninjas with a minor in dinosaurs.
Oh, that makes sense. He must have gone to the same college as Tommy then, and
yep,
minored in paleontology.
Majored in karate, and also minored in race car driving.
Yeah. it was cool though how like the battle Borgs like mimicked them. And then because the footage called for it, oh, by the way, you can use the Shogun's Orbs too. Oh, fantastic.
I thought they were sealed away because of time. Oh, you see, Tommy, the thing... Shut up!
you can use the Shogun's Orbs too. Okay, fantastic.
You know what? Why do we even need these guys? The Alien Rangers are doing a great job. Oh, yeah, they had to protect our water planet.
They didn't use any cockpit footage because it already established different cockpits from when the other five had to use them.
Oh, yeah. How did that work in Kaku? Like, the Battle Borgs and the Shogun Megazord and stuff. Wasn't, like, one, like, a lesser version of it or something?
Yeah, it was, like, a lesser-powered version. It was, like, the...
It was, like, the lightning version of Senpujin.
Except as being Senpujin two modes for one thing, it was two separate...
Okay.
...things.
They just kind of did whatever they wanted.
Yeah. And I don't know. And I love how they're like, well, we got these ninja zords from Ninjor because we have to have things that look like the animals our powers are based on, even though our suits don't. And then, oh damn, this came at the end of Kaku Ranger, so we're out of footage. Fuck, we should use other zords first.
Like, did they honestly just do that because of the movie?
Probably. Like, it's probably because I don't know.
Because there were six components. They wanted to get that out right away.
Yeah.
And they flushed better rather than, like, shoving...
Flushed the toilet?
Flushed?
Flushed
together better.
Flushed. I mean, those zords, you could just stick them in the toilet and they'd go down easier.
Well, the crane probably could get so damn small.
But, like... The Ninja Megazord with the Falcon Zord meshed together better than, like, having the Shogun Megazord and the Falcon Zord.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, that's because they wanted to keep it as a team of six instead of five.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. Like, it went together better.
It worked out incredibly well for them.
I know, considering... I had no idea until, like, I started reading about Kaku Ranger and stuff.
That they did it backwards. I'm like, wait, really?
Like, for what it was, they did it really well. And they had fairly decent explanations for everything, except for...
Everything.
But, yeah. Thoughts on the season in general?
It was, like I said before, it was my... Well, fuck music! No! We're not abandoning the music. Unless we're, like, running out of time.
Oh, music, yes.
Okay. Okay, it was good. Okay, now, final thoughts of the season. Like... The Saban era did have pretty decent music.
It did.
Like MMPR and I guess Zio in particular had like good music because it had like a theme for like most important stuff, like White Ranger and stuff, and Bulk and Skull got their own theme and that was cool. And just like
they basically did things the Sentai way. When you have a Sentai show, everything has their own theme.
Yeah.
Each mecha and like the robots have their own theme, and by the time you're done, each character has a theme. And
like in season 2 forward, we had like the full theme with like the words when they were making the Thunder Megazord, and then we had all the background musics that.
Like, it was just really iconic.
Like it was like I have it on my iPod. Granted, it's the like the Rock and Adventure one with all the like.
Oh, the talking in between. Yeah, I have that too.
Like I'd like a full clean version. Some of the songs, like I think they exist. I'm just too lazy.
Like
to find
that's
them.
One thing about I always forget to mention about Samurai is that it kind of makes me nostalgic, and I think it's cool. Like when they do the finisher, that they start like playing the MMPR music.
Yeah, like Samurai does have pretty decent music. Like
yeah, and like they have like
it's not remake. Like Ron Wasserman music,
mm-hmm.
But it's still pretty good background tracks.
Yeah, like MMPR was just really good. Like it was a really like iconic track. Like even like the background, like subtle. Like music that just had like the underlying like do 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 do,
basically what Linkara said. Like,
yeah, we'll just go watch that. Don't even listen to us.
Like, he always mentioned about how like good the music was and outside of Ninja Storm, but
you know, like, I liked the Disney era music too, but that's for another time.
Yeah,
but it was good music, and like, I liked how the original series had like their own themes for like White Ranger and Green Ranger, and
yeah, I love the themes because. Like, that's one thing I do like about Sentai. Like, they release a ton of music, and I like that.
I know.
Oh, God, yeah.
Kevin, don't get Kevin all excited. You're starting to masturbate. Oh, he's like, oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Music, oh, God, it gets me hard.
Okay, so now final thoughts about this season?
Okay, I'll start since I started. Like I said before earlier, is that it's probably my favorite season just because it had the most story going on in terms of just a bunch of different events happening, and then, like, everything just got organized, and then I hear a Kekko echo out of Kevin's mic, and
suck it.
And like, it just, it got a direction, like where it was going. Like, you kind of saw slowly, like, the end of the Power Rangers era as they went into reverse, and then the aliens came in, and just like, it was for all the mess it was actually fairly well done leading up to Zeo. So it still had its, like, you know, filler episodes, which are, you know, and it's general, like, stuff that makes you cringe when you watch it now, but it was definitely my favorite of the three. Yeah. And the acting and the character development were probably the best for MMPR. Mm-hmm. All right, your turn.
Like, I to keep it simple, what you said.
Man!
Like, this was like the first season that had like a very clear direction on where it wanted to go. It had Zeo in mind, like, almost through at least half the season.
Yeah.
Like, it had direction for once, so it wasn't completely spontaneous and repetitive. I mean, it still was repetitive in certain places, but it for once it felt like it knew what it was doing. The music improved, the character acting improved, the development improved. Bulk and Skull were at their best. The villains were enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I had to pick one season of MMPR to be my favorite, it would be this one, just because it had so much story and character progression that it was the most enjoyable for me.
And the acting was more tolerable.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone was kind of fitting into the roles. I mean, the people that have been there longer were obviously better in their roles than those that were just starting out. Like, David Yost at this point, like, had Billy down to...
I know.
Science...
Was this the one where he graduated college? I mean, high school for everyone?
No, he graduated in Zeo.
Yeah, that was in Zeo, because the others graduated in Turbo.
Yeah, they're like, oh man, I got my diploma, I'm only 26. Man, we're 26 too, we still got two more years in high school.
But, really, really great season, I think.
Yeah, it really was the best of the three.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I was going to say final thingies.
Oh, you bastard. So, yeah, no, like you said, you know, the characters got more developed and there was a story. And also, besides that, we also got introduced to other cool characters. And we had Lieutenant Stone come in, Rito, Master Vile, even though Master Vile ended up not doing much beyond season three. Rito came in and
did stuff.
Mixed it up with Goldar and Bulk and Skull had their thing going. And it was really, you know, really fun there. And we had the cool Zords. They were pretty cool. And Ninjor. There's just so much to like about season three. Even, you know, even the Alien Rangers and that whole thing, that was cool. And like I said before, the whole Zeo quest was just like, I don't know, it was just really cool. They just go back and you see, okay, Kat's going to Australia, and then Kat was actually there and waiting for, like, hey, little me. And, you know, Tommy going to do the whole Indian thing, which I probably would never have figured out that that's where he was going to go.
He's 1/8 and 3/14 Cherokee.
Apparently. And also the thing with that was
his dad or his ancestors, that generic Indian guy that was in all the 90s Indian stuff.
Well, what I was going to say is, and then he gets that they also set up the thing later for Zeo with his arrowhead and giving him the little half of arrowhead thing too, and that was so that was pretty neat, and I don't know, just the it got, you could tell they were trying more. Between,
I think
the
they were just more fed up with like having headaches over figuring out how to
use. I've got a headache.
Like, they're just probably tired of figuring out how to use the footage from other shows while keeping this like these suits. They're probably like, you know what? Let's build the season after finally switching.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they actually like put effort and thought into it, which I guess they forgot how to do at some point in the time.
And then they remembered, and then they forgot again. Now.
Yeah. And you know, and like we said, the acting got better, and it was just all around like much better. Definitely, obviously better than season one. Better than season two. And a really good lead into the epicness of Zio, which will be so fun to talk about next week.
Oh, I think this is a really fun segment.
You know, yeah. I love it. I can't wait to talk about it next week.
I'm having a good time with this.
I know. I'm having a good time with myself.
Okay, so anyway, on to...
Final thingies!
Okay, we all have thingies, and they're all not final.
I still have that not final thingy that I didn't was able when I hear. Shut up! You know what? I forget. Just give up. I give up. I can't. Words aren't coming out. I just quit. That's it.
So, just real quick, the it's kind of like, oh, it's still in the secondary feature section.
What?
The
higher thing.
We're still accepting applications for reporters, editors, columnists.
Interns to bring us coffee. Just kidding.
Yeah, those guys.
No, that's Matt's job.
And then for the forums, we need like admins and mods. Apply.
You announced that?
Yeah. Well, it was.
Oh yeah.
We announced it because it was in this post.
Oh.
It was kind of a forced upon kind of thing. So to apply, either click on that and.
Be intelligent, please.
So go to staff and then apply now. For some reason, we're having problems with Internet Explorer and Firefox. But I know.
Well, you should have a Mac and use Safari.
I know it works in Chrome and I know it works in Safari.
It's magical, Mac. And also, I stress again that we accept applications, and just because you send it in doesn't mean an automatic hiring.
Yeah, like we have a little blurb at the beginning of that post about the join our crew, apply today. That you just because you apply doesn't mean you're going to make it.
And please don't beg us.
Yeah, don't beg or else you're
don't spam our videos automatically or out.
Like sending us repeated messages and comments on YouTube and comments on the site. Stop.
Well, one thing I do want to point out, like if you're
a total asshat, we don't care if you are a partner.
Strictly using like IE or Firefox and like you just can't get it to work, just send an email to apply@RedditorDangersAndRambles.com and just kind of do your best to fill out the form like just in normal type, and we'll still take a look at it. So go ahead and do that if you can't get the application to work. We're still trying to figure out what the hell's wrong with it, but that's really about all. Look for tons of exciting shit coming up in the next month or two for RR, and stay tuned.
You gotta see it. We're coming.
On your faces.